The Don and Mike Show.
Digital VCRs, and it's cool the way they work. You could start watching 15 minutes after the show actually starts, and by skipping the commercials, you could finish watching the show at the same time it ends on the network. It digitally, because it's digital, and there's
a time machine.
Time machine.
We're going to watch ER with no commercials.
Say that. I can watch it without commercials, because I got a time machine.
The Don and Mike Show. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara Show. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara Show.
Do you find me, Lewis, annoying?
Everybody, you got the Don and Mike Show. Coming to you live, 4 hours every weekday. From the studios of WJFK, Washington, D.C. Broadcasting nationwide and coast to coast.
That's 1-877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Bibby's great peripheral vision, huh, Sam?
You know, that's what Don meant when he said he's a head job in the first part of the show.
No, he's a head case.
A head case.
No, that's not what
head,
I meant.
A head case.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here?
Made it back alive. Let me say, ladies and gentlemen, FedEx Field, stadium announcer, Philip, Robert, Jonathan, Rosberg.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rob Spiewak. Take it away, Rob.
Rob Spiewak.
Now, you're lucky to have Phil. Master P almost didn't make it into there.
What?
Master P almost didn't make it into there. You know,
Master
Phil.
Master P?
Phil.
Oh, Phil Hawker. Oh, Master P.
Master P, you know,
P was Phil.
Gotcha. He almost didn't make it in. He was busy consoling the Widow Guinness all weekend. God he made his flight.
Bye, Obi-Wan.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Duke Caucus and all the ships at sea. Hey, back after a busy weekend of modeling fur coats for Regis Philbin.
Yeah.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara.
Thank you, Robbie, and hello, and thank you for listening, everybody. New episode, and it's Monday,
August 7th.
Mm-hmm.
The phone number is same as it ever was.
Same as it ever was.
Oh. Right.
You need those sound effects to get back in the rhythm.
Yeah, really?
Right. That is your hotline to the hits. 877-365-3636. First, thank you for covering on Friday.
We had some donuts. I don't think there are any left over. I think they all got eaten. We fried a lot of food. You see my deep fryer out in the hallway?
I saw it sit out the hallway where your golf machine normally is.
I was really responsible. You know, I think I left at 8 minutes after the hour of 5 o'clock.
I wanted to call the show on Friday, but as it turns out, when I got down to the stadium in Tampa Bay, they had no audio.
Yeah, we were billboarding the fact that, you know, I wanted to hear about your flight down and whether you'd had a lunch meeting.
Well, it is, you know, it's one day late, but what the heck
we want to hear about.
I was not able to hear what you were doing, and I didn't want to call at an inopportune moment because I know that pisses me off when we're in the middle of something and somebody calls. So.
Well, you know, I have one major decision to make, and that was to whether to interview Olympia Dukakis myself or to do the amateur interview, and that was my one bad move that I actually should have left it to the capable hands of our listeners because she was just as
Leo, Leotard.
Yeah, Leotard should have done it because she was dull as a box of cotton balls.
Who knew?
Yeah, it was very difficult. But the rest of the show, the food was great. You know, the Regis scandal, it was good. But we're glad to have you back. You know, I like to come in here and put my feet up and let you do the setting of the table, and I just go with the flow.
Well, thank you for covering that on Friday. Much appreciated.
I equate my job with like one of those lazy tube rides down a river.
Hello, darling.
Oh, hi, my honey.
I just thought I would start today's show by saying once again, for those of you listening to us in the Reno area, you've lost your bets because Frieda and I have stayed married for another year.
Congratulations.
Bravo. That's right.
Congratulations, Frieda.
I'm just sitting here scratching another mark on the wall.
Today is the big 1-9 for us.
Oh. Boy, next year, it'll be 20 years.
That's right.
Oh. I thought you said the big 9-4. Although it seems like the big 9-4.
She's not on any kind of medication today.
No, I don't think you're not on any kind of medication, are you today?
No, boo-boo. It's just the regular.
Other than your regular medication. Well, happy anniversary. Sure do love you.
All right. I love you too, sweetheart.
All right.
Okay. Bye, Sugar Bear.
Bye-bye. I won't even mention how you... Well...
She was very brief.
I am returning her gift. No better way to kick off an anniversary than to give her a gift from the heart.
You have started your 20th year of marriage.
Pick something out that I think she'll really like, and then she says, you know what? Is there any way we could return this?
Oh, dear.
That's
the first time that's happened.
No, I should be used to it after all this time. You know, should you just go back to buying her the traditional junk that I used to buy her that she would never return? It's only since I've decided to try to put some thought into whether it be birthday or Christmas or anniversary that we've gotten into this habit of her just saying to me, I really don't like that. Would there be any way we could return that?
Well, that's not good.
Whatever.
I think we all ought to change our attitudes about gifts.
She said to me, she said, listen, if you like it, we'll keep it. Mm-hmm. But being as it's a gift for me, I think that my opinion counts more than your opinion. It was a picture. I got her a picture for the wall, and she didn't like it. So off it goes.
What do you think about just cash for everything? Gifts are way too much of a hassle, don't you think? I mean, cash, it ought to be just a cash sum.
Cash works for me. And listen, I cannot think of a more romantic or touching gift than the gift my wife gave me today, which was a new scale that not only measures your weight, but your body fat.
Hey, that's just great. To show you care.
I love you.
Well, she knows that I'm on this, that I'm back on the fitness kick again.
So, right.
You know, I opened that and I tried to feign some excitement. Mm-hmm. Like, wow, hey, great, really, really great. But I never mentioned...
Woo-hoo!
Is there a chance we could take that back? And like in a box of cigars or something.
Is it an ultra-modern scale? Is it a modern appliance?
Yeah, sure. It's one of those that's got batteries and all the bells and whistles on it.
How does it tell what your body fat is?
I don't know. It sends electrodes through your feet.
Ouch. Man, that's
something
sophisticated.
Like that. Right. So anyway, listen, we made it. And we're now officially starting our 20th year of marriage.
Wow.
Starting today. So a happy day for us.
And you made it back from your color commentary gig for the Redskins football game.
Yeah, I made it back. Mm-hmm. It was quite an experience. I do have some highlights of the game.
Good. I'm looking forward to
it. Of the broadcast that I'm going to play for you.
I heard the first quarter, and you sounded like you were enjoying yourself.
Yeah.
It sounded like everything was going fine, and that you were fitting in pretty nicely with those guys.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was a big charade.
Because it wasn't, really.
Well, no, actually, the fourth quarter, I think, was better than the first quarter, because I had loosened up by the fourth quarter. Listen, nothing against any of those guys. Sonny, Sam, Frank, the guys who called the Redskins game in half for the last 18 years.
Legends.
But Sonny Jurgensen was not calling the game on Friday night because he was on TV.
Yeah.
So I was filling in, and it was Frank Herzog, Sam Huff, and me. And of those two guys, Frank Herzog, the play-by-play guy, and Sam Huff, the other color guy, which would you think I'd have a problem with?
I'd figure Frank.
Right.
I think Frank would give you a hard time.
Well, much as it pains me to say, because we've enjoyed busting Frank's balls on this show.
In a friendly way,
Frank,
yes.
He could not have been nicer. He could not have been more helpful.
Mm-hmm.
He could not have been, I hate to use the word, goddamn delightful to work with.
Okay.
However, Sam Huff did not like the fact that I was sitting in that booth.
Right.
I don't know if that was apparent on the radio or not, but he did not like the fact that a disc jockey was in the Redskins broadcast booth.
You know, when I listened during the first quarter, you were obviously getting the lay of the land, my boy. But it sounded like you were making an effort not to step on any toes. But I also picked up, even in the first quarter, that perhaps the welcome mat was not laid out in its entirety.
Well, the welcome mat was laid out by Frank.
By Frank.
By the play-by-play guy. Mm-hmm. At one point, about halfway through the first quarter...
That's the guy you want to lay out the welcome mat, I would think.
Yeah, and listen, nothing will effort your confidence more. And I've never done this before, obviously. I'm nervous as crap.
Mm-hmm.
I'm living a lifelong dream. I think it's going okay. Herzog's telling me it's going okay. During a commercial set, like about 10 minutes into the first quarter, Sam says to me,
"Hey... you're talking way too much.
Ooh.
Back off.
Wow.
Back off.
Mm-hmm.
We got a rhythm in here. He talks, then I talk, then you talk. Back off."
Just like that?
Wow.
Just like using
that.
His big linebacker hands, yeah. Too, when he was saying that?
Yeah.
Wow.
As we were sitting, it was me on the left, Frank in the middle, and Sam on the right.
Right.
So I'm looking over the console, and I said, okay, what... you know, whatever you say.
Absolutely, linebacker.
No problem. So I backed off for a couple of minutes,
mm-hmm.
And then I thought, well, you know what the hell? This might be my only chance,
right,
to ever broadcast a real football game. So I pushed on, and as it turns out, things with Sam and I got, I wouldn't say heated, but things got animated in,
yes,
the fourth quarter.
Well, that's a good thing.
With me and Sam.
So Sam was feeling a little territorial.
I think so. I don't want to say that the great Sam Huff felt threatened by a panty waist like me,
mm-hmm.
But I think he felt a little threatened.
Mm. Can you tell him the football line that you told me in the office? What about, did you ever play football?
Oh, yeah, he said to me at one point.
Really? This is funny.
He says, did you ever play football? This is during a commercial break. And I said, I played high school football. He went, you know, okay, like you had to have played in the NFL to be able to sit up there and say, this guy sucks or that guy sucks.
Oh, God.
So listen, we get down to Tampa on Friday, and I have my lunch meeting with Frank and with Sam.
Right.
And Sonny's there and all the guys who work on the broadcast. And I had the puckered a-hole for this. I was more nervous about this meeting than doing the actual broadcast.
Really? I'm surprised at that. You wanted to make sure everything went... This was the real get-to-know-the-guys meeting, right?
Right, so we sit down, and as it turns out, nobody talked anything about the game. It was just an hour of BSing with Sam telling football stories.
Well, that's
and
good.
Herzog sitting in the corner, and then as we were walking out of the restaurant, Frank Herzog came to me and said, listen, you and I need to talk before the game to get our bearings set. So meet me on the field at 4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So he's thinking, oh, boy, this is where I'm going to get yelled at.
Right.
So we go over to the stadium. We get over there. I go down on the field with Herzog. As it turns out, listen, the guy couldn't have been nicer. All
right.
The guy said to me, basically, listen, you're a broadcaster. I'm a broadcaster.
Mm-hmm.
I'll call the play. You just say what you see. Things will be fine.
There you go.
Great. If you got something you want to say, tap me on the shoulder. If I've got an opening for you, I'll tap you on the shoulder.
Right.
Don't worry about it. Then I had a conversation with Sonny where Sonny said, just be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
During this whole time, I didn't hear anything from Sam.
Yeah, right.
Not a word from Sam Huff.
Right.
Now it's 5 o'clock. I got to start doing the pregame show in a half an hour. It's about 2.5 hours for the game. And in the booth next to us, in the radio booth next to us, there's the TV guys.
Yep.
And it's George Michael,
uh-huh,
from Channel 4.
Our good friend George.
And
how's he looking?
He knocks on the window. Well, I'll tell you this. You know that product Sun In?
Yeah.
That product for fake tans?
Sure.
He's really turning orange.
Yeah, yeah. He's got that stuff.
He's got a plaster on him. And Buzz?
Yes.
He's wearing Rockports.
See?
He's wearing Rockports.
America's favorite shoe.
Another snappy senior citizen wearing Rockports.
Was he wearing jeans or regular pants?
No, he was wearing regular pants.
Well, he had his suit coat on.
Yeah. Yeah. So he calls me. He knocks on the window. He goes, come on over. So I go over, and for approximately the next 15 minutes, George Michael is acting like he's my coach,
right,
for this game. He says, do you know the rosters by heart? I said, absolutely not. He said, well, you can't do it if you don't know the rosters. I said, well, they got it all written down in front of you. I said, besides, that's what Frank's going to do. Frank will call the game. I'll just say what I'm seeing out there. So George then started to relive his entire broadcast career.
Oh, my God. Here we go.
And as I was sitting through this 15-minute history lesson on the life and times of George Michael,
right,
this is really funny. I see in the back of the broadcast booth, the door opens, and it's Sonny Jurgensen with the owner of the Redskins, Dan Snyder.
Oh, my God.
Now,
oh.
As they come in, now keep in mind, I'm paying attention to what George is saying.
Like you don't have a bigger pucker factor at this moment.
I'm paying attention to George, but I also see Sonny out of the corner of my eye. I don't hear what is said,
But I hear the Redskins owner say, "You're kidding." Because obviously it was. What's he doing down there? Sonny said, well, obviously.
You really think that was the first time he knew?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
He's the owner of the goddamn team. There's not a I mean, he's got more important things than who's doing the radio broadcast. So all I hear is Dan Snyder say, "You're kidding." And I turn again, and they don't even come in the room.
Right.
They just shut the door, and it's like they were going to come in and say hi to George, but I'm sitting there, and he said,
"Oh my God,
you're kidding!" He shuts the door, and they leave. So that was my kickoff to the kickoff.
Oh God, well that sounds to me like you certainly were prepared. I'm surprised you didn't have a heart attack before the thing started.
So the game got going, and I think we have a couple of highlights. I don't want to bore you with a lot of dumb football stuff.
But it was a dream come true for you.
Yes, I absolutely loved it. I would do it every single week. I don't think Sam wants me back, but I would do it.
It was like fantasy camp for you.
I would do it without fail. Mm-hmm. And I had not a friggin' idea what I was doing, but still had a great time.
That's good.
So is this on Reel 1 or Reel 2, Robbie? Reel number 1. Here we go.
Live from a steamy Raymond James Stadium in Tampa, Florida. Good evening, everyone. It's time once again for Redskins football. I'm Frank Herzog, along with Sam Hoffman, sitting in tonight.
$10 to get in the door, $10 to park, and it's yours. And I am humbled to be in the same booth with both of you guys, and you know that. I'm here to follow your lead.
See, at this point, I'm already starting to kiss ass.
Right.
I'm already thinking,
that's good.
I got to kiss some ass at the beginning of the show.
Sure.
Okay.
I'm here to tell you what the average Joe Sixpack thinks while he's watching the game.
You can just put my luggage over here.
So right out of the chute, he's letting you know, I accept your ass-kissing and I do not kiss back.
Right.
Right.
You just put your luggage right over here.
Oh.
Gotcha, Sam. For those who just got off an airplane. I'll explain that later.
Here goes that seniority again. Don, it's Sam's remarks tonight. The offensive remarks sponsored by Lindsay Lexus of Alexandria, Virginia. We're going to get to that in a minute. Sam Hupp, let's start with your defense. Talk about a revamped defense. Holy cow, rebuilt from the ground up.
How we go past this? Let's get right to the calling of the game. Let's go to 827, Rob. Uh-huh. We don't have to hear me preview the offense.
Did you write something down for your preview or anything?
No, it was
like
off the top of my head. It was just, you know, hey, these are the guys they got. They're going to be good. Mm-hmm. I think this guy might be good. This guy might be bad. And it was during the first drive when I was trying to be honest. This is, I think, the first thing that got Sam mad at me. The Redskins offense came out, and I said,
you know, thanks for doing it with a little controversy. That's it. You know, it'd be real boring if you got along with everybody there, you know. It would be very dull.
It was nothing that was verbal.
Right.
But I just got the vibe from him. Like, the Redskins, the first possession, they came out. They looked lousy. I said, boy, that stunk. Well, Sam didn't like that.
I don't like the word stink.
That's real. Reel 1. Oh, hold on. Still queuing it up?
It's there.
Okay, here we go.
Ready to go. Kickoff coming from the 30-yard line to our right. Buccaneers in the home. Red jerseys, the white pants, the pewter helmets. Redskins visiting burgundy pants. White jerseys and the burgundy helmets with the distinctive Redskin logo. Brash and Morrell wait at the 2-yard line to our left. Here comes the kicker. We are underway in Tampa Bay. Deep kickoff into the end zone.
See, I'm still afraid to say something here.
From 3 yards deep. He's to the 10. Tries to cut to the far side and gets cut down at the 11-yard line. 27, Mark Carrier, the free safety, made the tackle. I don't think so, Sam. I think it was 27, Raheem Abdullah, the running back, who made the tackle.
You're right.
You had the number
I had the wrong side.
Notice I'm not jumping
in. I didn't get my glasses up quick enough.
Redskins offense.
I'm still afraid to say anything at this point.
Is it impressive to see a play-by-play guy? And as much as we have had fun with Frank, is it impressive to see him do it? Because it is a tough job. That's the toughest job up there. You know, for anybody that when you see a guy, you're talking about memorizing the rosters. He's a guy that really does have to have it all memorized.
He does it off the top of his head. He's real good.
Out of the huddle, first and 10. Brad Johnson, number 14, the quarterback. Adrian Morrell, the running back. Larry Centers in an offset eye, the fullback. Johnson to pass on first down. Going deep on first down. Near side, Westbrook overthrew him at the 50-yard line. He couldn't get to the ball. Donnie Abraham was covering for Tampa Bay.
Did it look to you guys like maybe that ball had a bit of a wobble in it?
It looked like it floated a little.
It was still over his head, even though it had a wobble. It looked like a Billy Kilmer pass. But most of the time, Billy Kilmer's balls got there, even though it did have a little wobble in it.
Second down and 10.
You can kind of analyze that the way it just, you know, after hearing what you said to me, it just, it's interesting.
Right. I just threw it, you know, it was a wobbly pass.
Okay. From the 12-yard line. Opening quarter of the first preseason game. Redskins and the Buccaneers. Four receivers. Steven Alexander among the four split out to the near side.
It's so surreal that you're up there, man. It's just dawning on me now. I was, you know, it's funny. It's funny because I know you, and I know that you're like me. And when he said that, you're like, okay.
Yeah, right, but I can't
say that. Be that way. I just said the goddamn ball wobbled.
And I can't say that.
I know.
And again, I'll say to his credit, Herzog, after I say the ball wobbles, he goes, yeah, it did.
Yes, it did wobble. Well, yeah, it doesn't matter.
That's what he said. Yeah, right. But this is only the first set of plays. Wait until later in the game.
This is funny.
You got to hear the interaction later.
Okay.
But let's go through the first series here.
Run formation for Brad Johnson. He's got the snap, looking to his right, checks off to his left, starts to run.
Get ready
to rush, gets sacked at the 10. Up front, Chidi Ahanadu makes the stop. Guys, was there a lot of shotgun use last year with the Redskins?
Yeah. No, they used it,
but I don't think a lot.
Passing situations, they use it a lot. And what it does is supposed to give Brad Johnson more time to throw the ball. That's what
he's talking to me like I'm an idiot. I know that the Redskins didn't use the shotgun a lot last year. I threw that out there as a nugget. Said, guys, did the Redskins use the shotgun?
Yeah, well, you hear it right there. Herzog says no, and Sam says yes.
Then Sam wants to explain. He says yes, and then wants to explain why the shotgun is a viable formation.
Which any football fan knows.
Reused the shotgun, but the Tampa Bay went into an over defense. They overshifted their defense to the right that time, which freed up the defensive end, and Anasir came in from the left side. They flushed Johnson, and they sacked it.
Third down and 12.
And that was possession.
That was over Chris Sanders. Here goes the run. Sanders running off the left side, breaks the tackle, keeps his feet, gets to the 15 to the 16-yard line, and that's it. Excuse me, Morrell on the run. Adrian Morrell, Steve White brings him down and forces the punt for Tampa Bay. Mac Deeks for the Buccaneers. Carl Williams, the wide receiver, will wait at the 45-yard line.
Well, that stunk.
Certainly did.
You know what, guys?
Tommy Barnhart to punt it.
It was only the first drive, John.
Well, that's what I would say if I was watching at home.
Yeah.
Boy, that stunk.
Yeah. Wait, Barnhart standing at the goal.
you can hear
the both of them take the deep breath. Yeah, you can hear Sam take the deep breath when you say that. It's like, whoa, what?
I say, that stunk. And Herzog laughs. He goes, yeah, it did.
Sam goes, oh, it's only the first drive.
it stunk.
You're giving the fans perspective on this.
Right now, looking for the snap from Zelenka, who struggled last week for a couple of days and then seemed to get it back tonight. Pre-game warm-ups, he was right on the target. Right on the target there. Good snap. Barnhart's kick is away.
All right, listen, now it's just going to be boring football stuff. Let's get down to Rob. Fast forward.
All right.
Down to... Go to 51-42.
Where are we there? What is 51-42?
Now we're in the fourth quarter.
Oh, you go right to the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Where they're trying to take a picture during the game, a picture of Sam and me and Frank.
Uh-huh.
And then it's just repartee between Sam and myself while Frank is calling the game.
Very good.
Okay? I won't bore you with all the stuff that I thought that I did that was good, like where I said, this guy's a good player, this guy's a bad player, you know, this guy came from this college, or, you know, all that boring crap, you know. Sean King is 10 for 11 on this drive with 100 yards. All that boring junk. But you just have to know the dynamic in that booth.
But there's tension.
Mm-hmm. And Sam was talking a lot more than he normally does, so that I wouldn't talk as much.
Right.
And then on the occasions that I would talk, then, like I say, that's the first thing he said during, like, the third break. Don't talk so much. Don't talk so much. Here we go. Back to the game.
Welcome back to Tampa Bay. 2 minutes left to go in this football game. Redskins leading 12-7. Tampa Bay is threatening as they move at the 12-yard line. No, it's the wrong button. It's the main button right there in the middle. He's trying to take our picture. Didn't know which button. Oh, now he takes a picture with our backs turned. Look at a hell of a job. Give me that camera. Here we go. Hamilton back to pass. Knocked down just as he delivers the pass. It's incomplete.
All right, here's the picture again.
Sam's going to take a picture.
Sam, turn around for the picture now.
Smile down.
I got to prove I was actually in here with you guys.
Oh, Sam's good. Okay.
Dr. Gay.
Who's taking the... Beautiful. Just out of curiosity, who's the idiot taking the picture?
Jim McClure.
Shocker of shockers.
Thank you very much.
Jim now McClure speed.
1:56 left to go in the football game.
Thank you, Jimmy Dum-Dum.
Third down is 10. 1:56 to go. Redskins leading 12-7 if he just got off an airplane and tuned us in.
Hamilton, the quarterback, looks it over. Third down, 8 yards to go. He needs a first down here. Throws a quick slant, incomplete. There's that little corner they've been picking on, and this time he makes a play. Terrell. Fans wanted pass interference. They're not going to get it. Fourth down.
David Terrell. He played pretty well. Really, we've called his name a lot tonight. On the corner.
I'd like to say hi to anybody who just got off the plane.
Fourth and 10. Redskins.
You couldn't help yourself, could you?
You were thinking about that from the minute he said it.
That's the ball. Yeah.
Play that again.
Now back it up, because you got here. The guys in the booth are laughing.
Right.
Okay. Sam's not laughing.
Right.
Okay. Because, I mean, what a non sequitur.
Sure.
You know.
13-70 just got off an airplane.
What's he referring to there?
I don't know.
No one knows.
David Terrell. He played pretty well. Really, we've called his name a lot tonight. On the corner.
And I'd like to say hi to anybody who just got off the plane.
Fourth and 10. Redskins. Tampa has the ball. I can't believe it. He's genius.
Here we go.
What did he say? What's that little thing?
He's laughing a little bit at what you said. I hear him laughing a little bit.
I don't know
he's chuckling just ever so slightly.
Redskins. Tampa has the ball. I can't believe it.
Here we go. Fourth down.
I don't know.
You can't tell. He just kind of mumbled something.
Deep drop.
Touchdown.
Can you believe that? Right over the middle. Unbelievable. The guy's wide open. 44, Todd Yoder.
That's the guy we talked about before. The guy who's got the fullback number. Who might be an H-back and a tight end. He's caught a touchdown pass.
Unbelievable. So now, we got a 13-12 game, Buccaneers, and they're going to kick the extra point.
Nobody rushed. Absolutely nobody rushed and nobody covered.
Wasn't the nobody rushed or he had good protection? Because right as you said nobody rushed, I was about to say, wow, really good protection by Tampa
Bay. Well, whatever it was, they didn't get even close to the quarterback. So they didn't put any pressure on him.
So out they come to kick the extra point.
They're going to think about going for two.
13-12.
Right. All right, hold on. Back it up here. Now, this is where Sam and I get into a bit of a math discussion.
Oh, good.
Because Tampa Bay calls a timeout because I theorize they're thinking about going for 2 points that would make the score 15-12.
Right, 15-12.
Which means the Redskins could tie it up with a field goal.
Right.
Rather than go for 1 point, and then if the Redskins kick the field goal, they would win the game.
Yeah, and so if you go for 1 point, it's not relevant to, you know, if you miss the one, you know, the two-pointer, it's not relevant anyway. They can still win the game with a field goal. So, you know, that's one of your percentage plays to go for the two-point conversion.
So here we go.
So out they come to kick the extra point.
They're going to think about going for two.
13-12.
Right? If they go for two, then it's 15. And then if the Redskins kick a field goal, it's tied.
They have 1:43 left to go. You do believe in miracles. If I would have been the Redskins, I would have thrown in my number one defense against them. So if you really want to win the game, throw the defense back in there.
I'd just like to point out, it's all happening the way I predicted it would.
Well, score the touchdown.
That's right.
Now we're going to have to go down and kick a field goal.
That's how weird this game is.
The drive, 50 yards, 9 plays, 3 minutes, 35 seconds.
See, earlier in this drive, I was explaining to Sam that if Tampa Bay scored a touchdown and went for two,
right,
the Redskins could come back and drive down and tie the game up, and he basically told me I'm an idiot.
Okay.
That there's no way that would happen.
Right.
So exactly what I said happened,
mm-hmm.
happened.
Did they go for two?
Yeah, they go for two, and his response to me was, well,
I guess you do believe in miracles.
Yeah, but that, okay, and so they actually go for the two-point conversion.
Here we go.
Hamilton, 12-yard touchdown pass to Yoder, his first as a pro. And we got a 13-12 game. And we want to say thank you to the people who helped make the broadcast possible tonight. Studio Operations, Matt Stout, Erica Singleton, Alan Simpson, Travis Edelin, and John Norman. Our parabolic mic off.
This is while they're just waiting during the timeout.
Welcome back this year, Cameron Gray and Craig Klein. Our engineering staff, Dan Rice and Wendell Hall and Daryl Nichols. Stats, John Canoza for the final time in his career.
He says.
That's what he said,
yeah. Executive producer Jim McClure and Charlie Broyhill.
John Canoza's wife is already booing.
Take him back.
We don't.
Here they go for two. Hamilton, long count. Hands the ball off. Fine, how do you do? Now we got a one-point game with a minute 43 seconds left to go.
So now the Redskins can win with a field goal. They don't need a touchdown. 13-12. Very similar to last year when the Redskins got beat.
See, now I bite my tongue there.
Yeah.
Because the Redskins never would have needed a touchdown.
You must be coming out of your skin at that point. Because hearing that little segment, I mean, it's hard not to go, that's what I said!
Right. But, you know, Jim McClure was saying in my headphones, because he has a thing where he can talk to either one of the three guys
right.
and the other two can't hear. He was saying, let it go. He said, just let it go. Play nice.
Well, you know, and isn't that in all color commentary when you hear that type of thing? You do. You let it go. It happens all the time. All right. And that's just the way it is.
13-12. Very similar to last year when the Redskins got beat in the fourth quarter where they were leading. They got beat 14-13 in the playoff game. Getting to be a habit.
A little more exciting last year, though, that last game, wasn't it, than this one?
Not in the fourth quarter. Two interceptions, two turnovers. Tampa Bay comes back and wins 14-13.
Yeah. But that game was more exciting than
this. Well, you're playing the playoff game.
Right.
Of course it was more exciting.
Who's thinking the obvious?
These are tryouts.
Wow. So basically,
there's tension there. There's obvious tension.
What's just happened there is Sam has just said this game reminds him of the game last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, except that was a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying is that was a playoff game. This is a
the logical response to that. I say, oh, yeah, absolutely.
No,
yeah,
but,
right.
You know, I said,
I'm
stating the obvious.
Well, excuse me, have you ever listened to the history of color commentary on sporting events in the United States? It's stating the obvious.
Yeah, right.
That's what the game is, okay? That's the way you do that. You state the obvious, okay? Tim McCarver, case in point.
And this exhibition game was nothing like
right.
the playoff game.
I mean, when John Madden every Thanksgiving says, this is what it's all about, this is a great day, that's stating the obvious. Of course it is.
Stating the obvious. You must have had that written down.
That's one of the few things I'm good at.
Minute 43 left to go. Redskins will have one last chance to try to come back and win this game.
When did the fist fight take place?
What, do we use a mic next week?
You don't want me back?
No, that's fine. I don't have anything to do with it.
Wow.
Okay, back it up a little bit.
I should tell you, I didn't want to say this now, but they've called me.
Because that's a non sequitur. Now he's pissed at me
right.
that I brought this up, so that's his retort. What,
right.
Is Mike doing it next week?
Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Back and win.
I'll be cooking.
But that game is more exciting than
this game. You're playing the playoff game.
Right.
Of course it was boring.
Who's thinking the obvious?
Need your tryouts. Need the obvious. You must have had that
that written down.
That's one of the few things I'm good at.
Minute 43 left to go. Redskins will have one last chance to try to come back and win this game.
What do we use, Mike, next week?
Well, you don't want me back?
Mike.
You don't want me back?
No, that's fine. I don't have anything to do with it.
That means you don't want me back.
No, everybody needs to work.
Marcus Stiggers and LaFan Williams are back.
So what he says there, he says, am I doing it next week? I say, well, you don't want me back? And he says, well, I didn't have anything to do with it.
Oh, is that what I see?
Yeah.
Sometimes he's doing the...
So he says he didn't have anything to do with it.
Wow. Yeah.
Way to welcome me.
LaFan Williams, number 30 on the inside. On the far side, Stiggers, number 16.
That has been fun.
If you say so.
I'm
kidding you, Sam. How good is this going to be for Husak to get in now and try to lead the team down for a field goal?
Yeah, it'd be fun for
his confidence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tampa ready to kick off. Receivers down here on the near side. Sam Williams, Marcus Stiggers. Tony Stiggers at the 8-yard line. He's out to the 15, the 20. Cuts it to the near side. Turns around to the 25 and gets out to the 27 before he's brought down.
Back to by number 22 of Tampa. Aaron Stigger.
Now, the problem is for Husak, he's coming out with an offense that's absolutely vanilla. He's got nothing, okay? I mean, it's the same old stuff.
It's the Redskins offense.
They've been running for 3 weeks.
It's
the very basic stuff. They haven't put any of the trick stuff in. But
see, now at this point, this is why I felt a kinship to Frank Herzog. Mm-hmm. Before the Redskins kicked off there, I said, would this be a good experience for Husak, the third-string quarterback, to get some experience? Herzog is answering my question.
Right.
But while he's answering the question, Sam's just jumping in.
Right. Right.
Didn't have much in the arsenal.
Other than a reverse, what do you think's tricky?
Defense is the chance. Husak is back to pass. Wait, throws it deep, got Thompson wide open at midfield. He's pulled out of the 48-yard line. That's a first down. Mark it at the 49. 1:25 left to go, and the clock is running.
That was tricky enough. Redskins have to be careful now, though. Only one timeout left.
All you got to do is get in field goal territory. 1:17 to go. You got to stop the clock.
Husak, 2-minute
drill.
No huddle offense, 2-minute drill. He's calling signals to the offensive lineman, and his back, we're back with him in the shotgun.
We're using too much time.
Left tackle.
Offside, 69.
But you know what it does? Stop the clock. At least the tackle has enough sense to stop the clock. You know, the penalty stops the clock. That's what you got to do.
Ringo's going to thank him for the handoff.
If you're going to be a quarterback, learn
it. Yeah. This is like a bad nightmare for me.
Let's go to the very end of the game.
Go to 105.
Let's go to 105.
Yeah. I think you were showing amazing restraint.
Yeah. Well,
I know the real you wants to just go, hey, listen.
Right,
just
shut up.
I mean, come on, give me a break.
But it's not the same. You know, if I had said shut up to him, it would be akin to me saying penis, which was the other big concern.
Right, like, exactly.
That they all had, that I was going to say penis on the Redskins broadcast.
You know how to play the game. You don't give them the ammunition.
Okay.
Lear, Mookie Moore, 66. Catches the ball.
Now, Mookie Moore, just to be straight on this, he can catch it if it's tipped by another guy, right?
No. No, it came out of his hand.
He was in the act of throwing it.
So it's a fumble.
No, he was in the act of
throwing. They call it a fumble.
Well, it's Tampa baseball.
We got that. Okay.
Well, okay.
There's Norv, not happy.
Nope. He's gotten beat by, when it comes to Tampa Bay, he gets beat by 1 point all the time.
And that's just, just like last year, huh?
I think he's going to get fired now.
Oh, thank God.
Well, isn't that the deal this year? He has to win every game?
Very good. He held out till 17 seconds left in the game, and then you said something. Well, it's going to get us in trouble.
I had no part of that. That was a Geronimo.
Well, over here in Tampa Bay, exhibition game number one. The coaches saw a lot with the young players. They also see a one-point loss. Final score, the Buccaneers 13, the Redskins 12. Sam Hoffman, Don Geronimo, I'm Frank Herzog. Stay tuned for the post-game show next on the WJFK Redskins Radio Network.
There was a lots of real boring football stuff that I didn't play for you.
Congratulations, yeah, though. I know it's a dream come true.
I loved it. Absolutely loved it.
It was fun, and you know, hey, it's a baptism of fire. I mean, when you're in there, and you know, and they're not all laying out the welcome mat for you, it makes it more interesting.
Right, no doubt. But you know, as I said, Frank was great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Sam. I don't know. Maybe that, you know, maybe that's just Sam being Sam.
You know, your relationship with Sam Huff is similar. When I was filling in for both of us when I was here the other day, was similar to my relationship with Charlie Broyhill. Very, very similar.
Yes.
Just kidding.
Well, anyway, I sure did love doing it. Hey, Rob, hold on.
Yeah.
Let me hear me doing some stats.
Hold on.
Go to 1229.
Take me a second, because the reel is off.
Oh, you already... Never mind, then. Never mind. Screw it.
Was that when you came back from the break and you were running down the stats?
I mean, because I did some stuff real good, like coming out of a break, right? At the end of the third quarter.
Well, you came back in the first quarter and you did that one time. And that was that sounded like you were, you know, Johnny Sportscast.
Right. Johnny prepared.
Johnny prepared.
Johnny, they fed me the information.
That's great.
They give you the sheet of stats before you go on, and then Herzog said, go with it.
It's the best way to do it, you know, when it's on a teleprompter.
Uh-huh. So they come back, and I say, you know, Redskins 5 first down. Tampa Bay with 4. Redskins with 3 turnovers. Tampa Bay with 2. Time of possession, leading the Redskins. Back to you, Frank.
What was the best part of the experience? What was the best part of it?
The best part was...
I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
The best part was when I said... And I want to say hi to anybody who just got off an airplane.
Right, because that was funny to hear the crew.
No, the best part really was being able to really say stuff that was correct.
Right.
Like, that guy's good, or that guy ran through the left hole.
And doing what, I mean, it's every fan's fantasy to be able to do that, to actually comment. You know, everybody watches games and they do that. It's a thrill to do.
No, I absolutely loved it. And, you know, I told him, I'd do it again anytime. I'm not sure. If they leave it up to a group vote, I'm not sure I'd ever be asked back again.
Well, you got the experience and you had fun doing it. Who knows?
Again.
Never predict the future.
But right. I sure did love doing it, and it was fun. And, after the game, I sure did get drunk with all of the guys from the crew, and I found out Wendell Hall's middle name.
Really?
Yes.
What's the initial?
S. You'd never guess it in a gazillion years.
Is it a totally off-the-wall?
Yeah.
Like one of those last names turned into a first name? Or
Smoot.
Smoot.
S-M-O-O-T.
Wendell Smoot Hall.
Right.
Sounds like a Confederate general.
Family name. We were sitting in the bar, all of us after the game, and everybody was getting bombed. Mm-hmm. And then somebody said, show him your driver's license. And Wendell pulled out his driver's license. Wendell Smoot Hall.
Oh, my God. Wendell Smoot.
Yes. Right.
I like that.
Wendell S. Hall.
Wendell's got... I saw Wendell today. He's already sweated through a T-shirt.
Yeah.
Apparently over at the park, I guess they were unloading some of the stuff, and some of the equipment was dropped off the loading dock.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, like that sensitive broadcast equipment. So maybe next week it'll be kind of like, okay, here we go. It's 13 to 12.
All right, let me just take a call here. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, what is a great broadcast, Don? Hey, Sam's being Sam.
Yeah, you know.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. These guys sit in these offices or in front of these radios, and they broadcast games for weeks before they got to get go on the air. And they don't sound half as good as you did on that broadcast.
Well, thank you.
Sounds like we got a real fan here, too.
Do a goddarn game.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you.
All right, and that was a Hoggett calling.
Maybe that's just Sam being Sam. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi.
Or maybe he really hates me.
No, I think that guy might be right. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I wanted to call about the broadcast. I have never watched or listened to an entire game ever, and I did on Friday to hear you.
Yeah.
And I think you did really good.
Oh, thank you. I loved it.
But I think that guy is a real dick.
Who?
But I guess it was Sam Huff.
No,
he's mean.
No. He's just being Sam.
He's just being Sam.
And you got to be mean to play in the NFL.
You know, I didn't know if that was like the normal banter that happens, you know, during all the...
No, I think he tweaked it up a little bit for me.
Well, at the end, I just felt bad. I thought, oh, they were really mean, or somebody was really mean to him.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, well, you did good.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Well, I loved it. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don. Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
I just want to say that
what you said about the people getting off the airplane was the funniest part of the show. You had me rolling.
I mean, what a non sequitur, right?
Yeah, I mean, they say that every week during the game.
You're just getting off an airplane?
Yeah.
1312, Tampa Bay.
But, I mean, normally it's Frank that says that. I was kind of surprised.
Oh, really? Because Frank was laughing.
Yeah.
Like it was the dumbest thing that ever been
said. He's probably laughing because he's glad he didn't say it that time.
But you had me rolling. I mean, that was late in the game, and I had a couple beers in me, but it was very funny.
I bet I could have done a better job if I could have drank during that game, too.
Yeah, you don't want to get into that habit, though, you know? And then you got a Chris Farley situation on your hand.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, the Don and Mike Kiss Army was in full swing on the post-game show. Larry Michaels was deluged with calls about how great a job you did. And then somebody said something about, you should have said something about May, and Larry Michaels had to ask, Charlie, who's May?
Oh, that was on the post-game show?
And then
I guess we won't get that answer.
And then he's gone.
Oh, man. A lot of people are talking about that, even with all the censorship we're getting. I spoke to a lot of people over the weekend about that subject.
It's a hot topic, Mike.
It is indeed.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Don. How are you?
Hi, we're great, thanks.
Mike, it's Angela. You know I'm disappointed you left. You didn't say bye.
This is from, this is Angela. This is the only person that ever calls after I go to a party. This is Angela from my brother-in-law's party. Yeah, I snuck out of the party. I'm sorry, Angela.
Sneak out because of the screen incident, Mike?
Yeah, I did.
What screen incident?
I'll tell the screen incident later on, but I had a great time. I really did, Angela.
We missed you.
It's always good to see you, Angela.
Good to see you too, hon.
Okay, baby.
Have a good one.
Okay. Bye-bye.
You and your secrets.
I know. No,
you and your weekend secrets.
My brother-in-law had a big party, cookout, crab feast at his house, and I was cooking burgers up on the deck, and they were having the crab feast down below. And so I'm cooking these burgers, and I race upstairs to get out to the grill because I didn't want to burn anything. And the sliding glass door is open, and I'd had one or two adult beverages while this party was going on, and so I go charging through the kitchen, and I'm not familiar with their house, and I walk right into the screen door. I not only tear a hole in the top of the screen door, but I hit it with such force that the entire screen door was taken off the tracks and fell forward. So I hit it, and two women were standing down below looking up at me on the deck. I said, don't tell anyone about this. And I picked up the screen door.
I'm telling you, you knocked the screen door off.
Because it was a huge party, about 50 people at this party. Everybody was talking with their backs turned, and there was music going, so you really couldn't hear it. But these two people were looking at, and you know, I didn't know either one of these women, and they both looked up at me like, oh, what an a-hole. Look what he did. And then I had to point it out to my brother-in-law later on. I said, obviously your little dog didn't cause that. Because, you know, it was right at 5:11, you know, right where the slit was. But a good time was had by all. Absolutely.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don, you sounded great, but that Sam Huff guy sounded like Abe Simpson after a stroke.
Oh, Grandpa Simpson, is that Abe Simpson?
Yeah.
So. Is that his name, Abe Simpson?
Yes,
Abraham Simpson.
Oh, let me see, 13 to 12. 13 to 12, Geronimo.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Dave from Baltimore. I just wanted to say that I've been listening to you since I was 10, and it has been 9 years now, and you guys kind of raised me. Like at home, I call you Uncle Don and Uncle Mike.
Well, that's frightening.
We have reared you.
That is very frightening.
All right, thank you.
Well, collegehumor.com.
Oh, see, he didn't really want to tell us that he liked us. He just wanted some dumb plug for whatever his .com is.
73 if you're just getting off an airplane.
Hold on a second. Clear those lines out. You got to call 100 for the secret sound. You didn't have a winner on Friday, did you, Sam?
No, we didn't have a winner. This is great, Chili. I want to thank you.
Call 100 right now.
I want to thank all the people that brought us some great food today.
877-365-3636.
You don't come back.
Be the 100th caller now, and you get a shot at the money.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Senior citizens, although slow and dangerous behind the wheel, can still serve a purpose.
I'll be right back. Don't you go dying on me.
Just a couple of hard-working white guys. Don Geronimo and Michael Miller.
I do want to tell you about a contest opportunity tomorrow, but first let's get on call 100 right now. Donaldo y Miguel. Hola. Excuse me. Mexican there speaking Spanish. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Who's this?
This is Maura calling from Reston.
Maura, you are the 100th caller.
Woohoo! All right.
And I'm sure they want this publicity now. You've won the Verizon T-shirt. It's a shirt that says "On Strike."
Yay!
Even though Bell Atlantic has changed its name to Verizon
and are dealing with like thousands of employees out on strike,
all your services will continue as though nothing has changed.
I have to say, I called information twice today. Got an operator. Got right through.
Really?
With Verizon, I had no problem with it today.
I called probably 12 different times today, and I never got an
operator.
Neither
did I.
The only difference is the name. All I know is it's a great, high-quality cotton T-shirt.
Oh, fantastic. Is it like the red ones that they're wearing on the picket line?
I believe so.
Well, that's its collector's item.
I believe so. No, it's whatever the, you know, they gave us this giveaway before they went on strike.
What's the next prize? Are we going to give away a T-shirt from United Airlines? What's going on there?
Thank God. You know, I normally love flying United. Mm-hmm. It's my favorite airline.
Yeah, and I like them, too.
Thank God they had me booked on U.S. Air, though, coming back from Tampa, because when I was at the airport on Saturday morning at Tampa Bay coming back, there were 300-400 pissed off people.
It's amazing.
Because, you know, United is canceling flights because they don't have enough pilots.
Right.
Although we do have this one guy. Well, listen, let me do the contest. Remind me about the guy who works for U.S. Air.
Very good.
Who nearly caused our flight to be canceled.
Okay, very good.
One of those guys that works on the ground. Listen, are you ready to go for the big money?
I'm ready to go for the big money, absolutely.
Okay. $500. All of the Benjamins now will play your secret sound number 7, a common everyday sound. You get it right, you win $500. Please don't answer until Mike sings like
Abe Simpson Huff.
And we wish you Godspeed. Nope, that was the sound.
Caller, name this sound.
And there it is again. You actually got a free listen. Let's see if you follow my logic here. If Tampa Bay goes for 2, the Redskins can tie the game by going for 3.
Oh, yes.
For $500, what's the sound?
Is that the sound of a screen door being closed?
Not the sound of Mike running through a screen door either.
No,
thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, though. Thank you, sweet cakes. Hold on, please, and don't forget that every guest
is a clue for you.
Okay, so, flight coming back on Saturday. I was more than a little hungover, more than a little overtired. I made a point to get to the airport extra early to be the first person to check in for the flight because it was at cattle call seating, okay?
Right.
No coach, no business, no first class. It's just like everybody on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
So I had seat A1, which means I was in the front row. I was going to be the first one on the plane. I was going to be the first one off.
Thought,
beautiful. This is great. I'll get on the plane. I'll sleep for a couple hours. I'll feel great. Well, the first thing that this guy does, this Bass Ackwards guy at U.S. Airways, who thinks he actually has something to do with the transportation business. This is the guy who stands at the gate and says, the flight is ready to board, and he tears your ticket.
It's kind of like the ground-based flight attendant is
right.
What they are.
Well, so this guy, he's got a backwards way of doing it. He says, we're going to start by doing the plane from the back to the front. We'll start with row 32. Row 32 through 28 right now. 32 through 28.
Well, that's the way they always do them.
So, well, no, I've been on lots of planes where they just say, it's boarding now.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess when it's packed, I've been on them where they board the plane from back to front.
And there had been other U.S. Air flights in this part of the Tampa airport where they had just announced, you know, flight to Philadelphia is now boarding.
Go.
Get your boarding passes ready. So,
festival seating.
So, I waited. I sat right by the front, and I was like, God.
You must realize you're screwed right at the very beginning. If
right.
He says that, we're going to blow from row 30 back to 20. You know immediately you're going to be the last one on the plane.
And this guy, as people are coming up one at a time, here's his routine. Well, hello, Mr. O'Mara. Did you have a good time in Tampa Bay? You are going to be in 32C. That's on the left-hand side of the aisle. Thank you. Have a nice day.
Oh, God.
And occasionally someone would come up who was in, like, if he was calling 32 to 27, someone would wait in line there, row 26.
Right.
He would stop everything and say, whoa, 32 to 27 right now. Please, can you get back out of line. And he had this, he had the movements like he was the guy out on the runway.
On the tarmac bringing the plane.
He did the thing with his hands. Would go back to the left.
Right.
Back to the left. And then he would get back on the intercom.
We're now ready for rows 27 through 24. 27 through 24, please.
And everybody coming up, he's slow as molasses, asking everybody their name. So finally, I get on the plane. Now, the plane is scheduled to leave, I don't know, at 11 o'clock.
Right.
It's 5 till 11 by the time he gets me on the airplane. I'm sitting right up front by where the pilot door is, and the door is open.
Right up at the bulkhead.
Right. And I hear the pilot say to one of the stewardesses, to one of the waitresses, he says, listen, if we don't get going in 5 minutes, we're going to lose our opportunity, and we're going to have to cancel this flight.
Right.
So she goes and she tells Mr. Happy, but Mr. Happy, meanwhile, has got someone out at the counter who wants to get on the flight. So he comes in and he goes, now he's on the plane. The same happy-go-lucky guy.
Right. They do that all, but, you know, sometimes, thank you, you know, if you're all seated and stuff, that's kind of like what their thing is,
well,
right?
Well, now he's back on the plane and he goes, hi, everybody, don't want to slow your trip down anymore. Your beautiful trip from Tampa Bay, Florida, to Washington's Dulles Airport. We do have somebody who would like to get on this flight today, and as you can tell, we are extremely booked, so if there's anybody who would like to give up their ticket, we're offering a ticket to go anywhere in America. Just hit your button right now, and the stewardess will let you know. Meanwhile, the stewardess, because he's making this announcement in front of me, the stewardess says, we don't have time for this. We have to push back now. We're going to lose the opportunity. He says, just a moment.
If there's anybody.
And the people sitting behind me, they go, we'll do it. We'll do it. So he goes, okay. He takes these two people off. Meanwhile, it's the biggest fuster cluck in the world because now there's a big log jam at the door. You have the two people who have gotten their luggage out.
Right.
Are trying to get off the plane. The one guy who's trying to get back on, and then the pilot sticks his head out and says, can we go? And now the guy who's been taking everybody's tickets, he says, hey, wait a minute, hold on. If two people are getting off, then I can go back outside and get one more person to take their spot.
Oh my God.
Hold on, just a moment, hold on, just a second. He's one of these... like Ned Flanders look. I don't want. Right. I don't want the whole show to be Simpsons related today. But the guy was.
I was ding dong diddly dee, senor.
It's a dead ringer for Ned Flanders. So now he goes out and he gets the other person. So now he's got two people standing waiting to get on, two people waiting to leave. The two people who want to get off the plane, they've now discussed and they say, we really don't want to do this.
Oh my God!
When is the next flight to D.C.? Well, I would have to check, but our regularly scheduled flights leave at 10:55, 4:55.
You're just seeing this is a microcosm of what's wrong with the entire airline industry.
7:59, and I believe that there's a late night flight at 12:02, but that only runs Monday, Thursday, and every other Saturday, and a month that ends with Y. I mean, the guy's going on, and meanwhile, the door's open, and everybody on the airplane hears the pilot say, we have to go now, or we're going to be, and he gave three letters. I don't know what the letter was. It was like, we're going to be CPA if we can't leave right now. So at this point, the guy gets back on the intercom, and he goes,
well, as it turns out, these two fine folks decided that they would rather travel to our nation's capital this morning, and I have two people here right now. Again, offering two tickets anywhere in the United States, if you'd be willing.
They have too much control. Guys that you're talking about, people like that, it's the same thing when I was screwed up on a recent flight. They have too much control over the entire process. These people, these gate attendants that are married to their computers, and when they get overbooked, it becomes the number one priority, and it's crap. It's got to stop.
There are a couple of points here. First, if the guy had not been goddamn June Cleaver greeting everyone by name and asking them how they were doing and telling them where they were sitting on the plane, if he just would have taken the tickets, he would have had plenty of time to be the announcer.
Sure.
But because he mucked it up by doing that, I was getting pissed. And then everybody on the plane started, you hear the murmurs. People start going, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. And the pilot, thank God, the pilot wanted to kiss him. He came out and he said, if we don't leave in 2 minutes, we are going to have to cancel this flight. And he said it in front of everybody on the plane.
Yeah, the men and women who are pilots in this system are the last bastion of quality. I mean, fortunately, that's the case. But, I mean, you see all this garbage that goes on. It's ridiculous.
So at this point, the pilot now says this loud enough for everybody on the plane to hear. And everybody starts going, go, let's go, let's go, let's go. So the pilot physically takes this guy who loves his job so much, physically takes him and virtually pushes him out the door. The pilot himself then shuts the door and turns the handle.
He'll probably be written up for that. I hate to say that, but that's probably what will happen.
And he says to the waitresses, sit down and buckle yourself in. And he turns to the entire plane and he says, we're taking off right now. And the entire plane, the guy gets a big, oh.
Good.
I mean, it was just ridiculous.
What has happened to air travel
in
this country?
Well, the ticket guy was doing his assignment from the airline, which is make sure there is a paying passenger in every single seat cushion on that plane.
That is their only priority.
That's right.
That's all they care about, these people.
But this guy could have gotten this job done if he wasn't like,
right.
Well, hello, Miss. And when I got there, I had my Redskins bag, and I had on a Redskins radio T-shirt. And again, it was, were you at the game last night? I said, yep. That was a nail-biter, wasn't it? Oh, you're a big Redskins fan, huh? I'm like, yep. Say, Redskins radio, do you work for the Redskins? Indirectly. Wow, but I think they might be going all the way this year. Well, listen, you're in seat 1A. That means as you get on the airplane, it'll be directly to your left. Now you are in an emergency exit aisle. Are you okay with that? I'm like, yes. Shut up. Okay, I've got to tell you something, though. Don't be offended. Bucks all the way in the year 2000. Go Tampa Bay. I'm like, okay, tear the ticket.
You know what I don't understand, and I still, maybe somebody can explain it to me, the entire concept of overbooking an airline. I don't understand why that has to be done, why they do it, and why we have to suffer, and why almost routinely now you get the, you know, the sold-out flight where they said if anybody'd like to give up their seat. It's absolutely horrible to deal with.
It's horrible, but it's based on the percentage of how many people miss or don't show up.
See, it's crap. I don't think
it
that,
is
I
crap,
think they should eat it. I think they should eat that.
Absolutely.
Based on a huge bell-shaped curve. I remember learning about it in statistics, and I forget exactly.
You know, they should book a plane. That's it. If you know,
right.
You sell the amount of seats there.
You miss it, you miss it.
You miss it. And you know something? Their percentages are screwed up when you get these things overbooked all the time.
Right. There's
either way,
money for them that way.
But either way, the plane's going to wherever it's going.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So just go. Just go. Just get
going
with
it. And it's a failed system of doing this overbooking. They should stop that policy. It should be regulated out of the airlines. They shouldn't be able to do that so that they book the planes. And if somebody doesn't show up, TS. Mm-hmm.
Well, all I know is that they should get more people who tear the tickets, like that surly guy at Reagan National Airport.
Right. Yeah.
When we fly up to New York every week, that guy doesn't want to say a damn thing to anybody.
There you go.
He doesn't want to make eye contact. He just wants to get your ticket and get his miserable day over with.
Absolutely.
Good for him.
I appreciate that. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don.
Buddy.
Don, you dumbass. They always load from back to front.
Dumbass. We fly to New York every single week, and they do not...
What, did you just fart?
Yeah, I did. I mean, it wasn't public. I mean, I'm sorry. It was an SPD.
We fly to New York every single week, and they do not load us back to front.
But some places do it wrong. They're not doing it right.
Shuttles do not load from back to front.
Right.
Only sold-out planes load from back to front.
And furthermore, I was on a plane a couple of weeks ago when my wife and I went down to Florida.
But I work for the airline.
Okay.
But I don't work there anymore. I just lost my job yesterday.
Congratulations.
But listen, though.
Not all flights book from back to front. Not all flights load like that.
Don, hey, Mike, I got a question for you. Hello?
Yes?
I got a question for you.
Mike.
I thought about you when I heard this. Where do you find a dog with no legs?
Is this a joke?
I think so.
Yeah.
Why are you attaching my name to the joke? Why are you
because
telling
of your
me
dog.
The joke?
I just remembered when Don was making fun of your dog, and we were talking about it, and then I heard this joke.
When was I making fun of your dog?
It's been a long time ago. Long time ago.
I don't know. I don't want to hear.
Where do you find a dog with no legs?
Is this why you got fired from the airline?
Yes.
It is. What did you do at the airline?
What did I do?
Don't answer a question with a question.
I'm sorry, God.
No, I don't like him.
What did you do?
I took tickets.
Oh, come on. He's lying. 100% lying the whole time. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, buddies.
Hey, buddy.
I wanted to ask you a question, Don. Do you think Sam Huff was, you know, he seemed like he was a little uptight with you, in my opinion. Do you think that
maybe he thinks that you're portraying him as being stupid from when in the beginning of the program you'd have that thing where it goes, this is Sam Huff.
How does that portray him as stupid?
Well, I don't know. He doesn't sound like he's that smart, but I think it's like the way that he speaks. And the other thing is, remember that dude who I think he retired last week where he would call up, this is Sam Huff?
I want to say for the record, Sam Huff is a very bright man.
Okay.
I'm not in any way challenging the intelligence of Sam Huff. I'm simply saying that he was not a genial host.
I understand.
In the booth on Friday night.
That's very, very diplomatic of you.
Okay, but...
Thank you.
I was thinking, remember that guy who would call up and it was...
Yeah, I know the guy, the Sam Huff guy.
He calls all the time.
Right, but...
We didn't retire him. We said he's got to work on his material.
Yeah, his sister ended up with the stick in her bad place. You know, if he heard that, he might not really like you too much.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Another genius. Another genius.
What's Have a good
wrong
day, guys.
People? What's wrong with people?
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, guys.
This is
Frankie from Sacramento.
Sam has no idea what we do on this show. Right. God bless him. No idea. I don't think he listens to this show.
He doesn't?
I don't think so.
Damn it.
Hello, what can we do for you?
Hey, I just want to tell you, there's some guy out here in Sac calling the radio station doing a killer on-air protest for you during all the sports shows. He just mumbles, keep Don and Mike on, keep Don and Mike on. And they'll hang up from him, and they'll go to the next caller. Sometimes he might be the second one, but last night he was hitting them right at the second one.
Thank you.
So they'd hang up from one guy, and they'd go to the other line, and it would be the same guy.
We got the point.
And
thank you.
That was a good story.
Thank you for your support. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don.
Yes.
Hey, I just U.S. Air, the business class seats with the extra room, you know, the extra 5 inches of leg room.
Oh, that's a yak, isn't it? They're all doing that now, too. And I'm sorry, you know, we both had a, you know, you fly a lot more than I do because I take the train because I don't want to deal with it. And I'll tell you right now, that this new thing, we've given you an extra 4 inches.
Thank you. Oh, thank you so much.
BFD.
Anyway, what about it?
Anyway, the ones with the extra leg room are in the back of the plane on U.S. Air. So they load the back of the plane on some U.S. Air planes. The commuter flights.
Oh, maybe you're right. I don't know. I just know it pissed me off.
Yeah. Well, that's why it's the business class people getting in first in the back of the plane with the extra leg room. You're in the very front, so technically you have the worst seat.
Yeah, but I was the first off the plane, man. I was the first out of there.
That's good, and that's an advantage, too.
Yep. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, this is Sam Huff, and I have not retired.
Sam, you have to work on your material.
I know, and I apologize for everything. Donnie, I think you did a great job. I don't care what anybody says.
I didn't get that feeling from you Friday night, Sam.
Well, you know, Don, I don't know what you were thinking, but, you know, I think you did great. I mean, you had the shtick going and everything, and, you know, you got the joke with the airplane with Frank and myself, and, you know, sometimes I think I'm in an airplane when I'm doing those games.
Listen, Sam, all I know is that by the time I left the stadium on Friday night, You know what I felt like?
You thought you'd come up on the short end of the stick?
Correct. That's how I felt. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don, I manage a large company, a lot of people. Here's what I think happened with the broadcast. If you listen to the other regular Redskin broadcasts, Sonny is always subtly dumping on Sam, really putting him down if you listen to it closely. This was his repressed anger at Sonny.
there's the man.
You think I'm kidding?
There's an analysis.
Well, listen, you know, for what it's worth, I'll tell you this, that before the broadcast, Sonny came up to me and gave me a pep talk.
Right.
Sonny sat me down, gave me a beautiful cigar, I mean, a real quality cigar, and said, be yourself. Mm-hmm. Just be yourself. You'll do great.
Right.
Don't give it a second thought.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was it from Sonny Jurgensen.
That's right.
And a beautiful cigar. So who knows? Perhaps you're right. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi.
Radio and football commentating God.
Right.
Listen, I think I heard what Sam Huff said under his breath when you did the hello from anybody getting off the plane crack.
What did he say?
It sounded to me like he said the greeting committee.
You know, maybe he's right. I think because I thought it was greedy. I thought he said greeting committee.
It sounded when you said
that's what he said. I think you're absolutely right.
The greeting committee.
Greeting committee.
Either way, great line.
That is a great line.
Either way, hold on. Mike has a
fantastic.
Mike has a great line for us right now. Wow, that's a beautiful thing.
Thank you very much.
That's a beautiful thing.
Thank you all very much.
That fart was sponsored by the best cigar site on the planet, egars.com.
That's good on a lot of levels.
That's a mighty good one.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. No instant replay on that, huh? Were we recording that?
Yeah.
Roll it back.
It wasn't as good as the one you had last week.
No, it wasn't. No.
Let's hear it. Real one
pretty
or real
close,
two?
Though.
Number two.
Number two? Wow. That's a beautiful thing.
Oh, back it up for me, Robbie.
For us right now. Wow. Started strong. Lots of personality.
It did indeed.
Really came right through the door and said hello.
Yeah, it was a 1-2, but it was a combination.
Look at me.
There you go.
Look at me.
Hey, look at me.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello, look at me.
It's gonna be May.
Hello there, Don and Mike.
Hey, first of all, Don, I wanted to congratulate you. Great job.
I'd like to send that last one out to him, incidentally. Thank you.
Happy May.
It's gonna be May.
Yeah, I want to congratulate you on working 69 into the broadcast when you mentioned offsides on 69.
And that's exactly why you did it. There really was no 69 on the field, was there?
Do you know the one thing that I didn't get on,
right,
that I could have, where I really could have been dirty, was I had said earlier in the broadcast that Jeff George was a head case.
Yes.
That he was loopy.
Yeah.
And Sam referred to it later. And listen to the restraint I use when Sam is trying to refer to my comment.
Oh, it's not queued up.
Here it is.
Mimi's great peripheral vision, huh, Sam?
Well, you know, that's what Don meant when he said he's a head job in the first part of the show.
No, he's a head case.
A head case.
No, that's not what
I meant. A head case.
That's all I said. It's not what I meant.
Head job.
A head job.
God.
Yeah, all head
those,
job.
All
head.
Those football players know about head job.
You know, I'm thinking that'll be my claim to fame. If I run with that, that's the one thing that they'll write about in the newspaper, right, that I said head job.
Head job.
When in actuality, I didn't. Sam did.
Right. It would be something like Jeff George wanted a head job.
Sam was the dirty one on that broadcast. Not me. Clean, all America.
There you go.
Sticking to the script.
Good job.
Hello?
Also, I wanted to mention that Mike did a great job on Friday, but Mike, you seemed a little bit edgy.
Yeah, well, that's Charlie Broyhill. If I ever sound edgy at all for any reason, just remember it's Charlie Broyhill.
Gotcha.
And if you know that, you'll be able to deal with it.
Thank you.
You bet.
Goodbye. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don, Mike.
Hello.
Hey, I could have sworn, Don, that I heard you say the F word when there was a interception sound.
Tell the truth, you did.
Oh, yeah, I screamed. I said, oh, F.
Oh, F that.
I heard it.
No, I didn't say the F word.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't.
Oh, that's funny.
No, I didn't.
Dude, I heard it. I bet you could find it, but you couldn't play it back. So.
What about, was it the third quarter where they didn't score? They went 3-and-out or something like that, and you said stupid effers?
Yeah. I said, suck my D. Warren Sapp can suck my D.
Hey, guys, it's Fez again.
Hey.
Hey, first I'd like to say, Don, congrats on the commentating job. I really loved it.
Hey, thank you, Fez.
Hey, I need to talk to Buzz again.
Hello, Fez.
Hey, hold on. Didn't we retire you?
Yes.
There was talk of it.
You said last week, this better be good or going somewhere, and then I did, then you left.
Oh, all right. Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead. Talk to Buzz, Fez.
Hey, Buzz.
Hello, Fez.
Hey, Buzz.
Yeah.
Buzz, you don't like me, do you?
Oh, that's
trying
not,
to be nice.
That's not true.
You know, I just got back from the pet shop. They had a discount on gerbils, and I bought it for you and us. You don't love me, do you?
Goodbye, Fez.
Not so much.
Goodbye.
Yeah, I think it's becoming clear why we almost retired.
Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don, how you doing?
Hi, Baldy.
Hey, I want to congratulate you. You did a great job on Friday, and I listened to Sonny, Sam, and Frank for years. Probably, I don't know, close to 20 years, I guess. And you did way better, I think, in your initial thing than Dennis Miller did. All his stuff sounded scripted, and you sounded right off the cuff.
Yeah, I had no scripted jokes about... Who are those two people that Dennis Miller made? He's like, Eucryptes and,
Yeah, well, you know, he does that eyebrow stuff, right? Sure.
Crap like
Troilus
that.
Troilus and Cressida.
Yeah, hey, that's Don. Who it is. Yeah, they're whores, incidentally.
You know, it was great. I loved in the fourth quarter, too, about how you had that guy's number right. I can't remember the guy's name, but he was a rookie or a walk-on or something like that. And
he's number 69, the guy you call the effort.
But Herzog, he didn't even have his number or the guy's name on his sheet, and you knew it.
Well... That's because I studied.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, my friend. I can't help it. I'm a natural at it.
You memorized all the rosters.
Just like George Michael told me to.
Yeah, man.
Hey, man. Listen, Geronimo. And that was the most surreal thing. Listen. And here's what he said to me. He said, you see this spreadsheet? I've got every player for both roster. I've got first string, second string, third string. I know them all. And you know why I do that? I do that so when I call the game and I see the number, I visualize the person's name, and I know exactly who it is. That's what makes me great.
He said, that's what makes me great?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I'm sitting there having to listen to that go, okay, George.
Boy, oh boy. What a DJ.
You're great.
George is still a DJ.
You're great.
Yo, he's a disc jockey all the way.
That's what makes me great.
That's something only DJs can really say with
that's
conviction.
True.
That's what makes me great.
He's a disc jockey on TV. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, Don. Yeah. Almost right. It was the giggling committee, not the greeting committee, but it's exactly what you guys were doing, giggling.
No, I think the first guy had it right, the greeting committee.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, I want to congratulate Mike on doing a real good job on Friday. Everybody's tooting down for him. Oh, you did a great job, too. But
I will second that. I've got nothing but positive feedback on Mike's show on Friday. I gladly second that.
I appreciate that. That's nice. I just want to, you know, say I don't like doing it. I like coming in here and riding the tube down the river.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, radio gods.
Hi there.
Hey, I didn't get to hear you guys on the football game, but you got to have done better than Dennis Miller. He was horrible.
Thank you. Okay, listen, enough of this. Here's what we need to... Thank you for your support. Thank you. Here's what we need to do.
Uh-huh.
As it turns out, we have a great prize to give away this week. Right? Today's my anniversary, of course.
Yeah.
It's the 7th of August.
You start your 20th year of marriage today.
And this week, we are giving away free laser eye surgery from Witten Laser Eye Associates. Now, I don't want to put the other laser eye people down.
Okay.
But, listen, would you rather have your eyes done by a guy who did Tiger Woods' eyes and a guy who charges $5,000 to have the surgery?
Uh-huh.
Or would you rather have it from a guy who went to the University of Mexico and charges $999 an eye? Frankly, there are a bunch of guys on the air now
right.
who have
right.
eye surgery for $999.
Yeah, and some of those guys come out like, Geordi from Star Trek.
Right, and all I know is that the surgery that we're giving away is from this guy, Dr. Witten, who did my eyes, did Tiger Woods' eyes.
Right.
Does a bunch of famous guys' eyes, so you know he's not going to F it up.
Right.
And he charges $5,000.
I think he did a lot of professional golfers, as well as Tiger Woods. I think he's the, I don't know if he's like the official guy of the PGA Tour, but I know a lot of guys have gotten their surgery done. And, you know, the golfers are the ones that put this stuff on the map.
So this week, we're giving this away, but because we're going to be in New York for part of the week, and because there's another football on Friday, another football interruption, we got a chance to give away this eye surgery on tomorrow's episode.
All right.
Right here in our studios. Keeping in mind that this is a $5,000 prize.
Good.
And I don't want to do a commercial for this guy because I already do a commercial for him, but I see 2015 now. This guy doesn't F it up. He doesn't write. The question is, what would ye do?
What would ye do
for a $5,000 laser eye surgery?
Right.
Now, this is a short turnaround because we would need people to come down tomorrow to the Don and Mike World Broadcast headquarters.
Would you accept blind people? Can he fix those?
If a blind guy wants to come down, I don't see why a blind guy couldn't win the surgery. Maybe instead of being blind, he'd be able to see little colors and dots.
Yeah, I mean, if they really, really worked on him for a long time with a laser.
So we need to know, what would ye do to win free laser eye surgery?
Well, there's smoke coming out. Yeah. That's not going to do
it. Not exactly a freak show. It's one of our What Would You Do shows.
What would you do to win this incredible surgery?
Worth $5,000 from a doctor who's reputable, who won't F it up.
Right.
So if you'd like to come down tomorrow and you'd like to do something to show us how much you would like to win this eye surgery.
I'm sure there are people with glasses all over the area that would like to do something goofy.
Call us right now at 877-365-3636, and we will entertain those calls.
I picture certain attractive women with, with glasses mm-hmm. that will come down here and do something unusual.
Sure.
You know, I mean, I don't want to skew the playing field at all, but I just all of a sudden had a vision of, you know, those commercials you see sometimes where you got the girl with the glasses and her hair's up and she takes the glasses off and she lets her hair down.
And she has gigantic boobs.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, I just,
real nice turd cutter.
Yeah, somehow I just played that in my mind. So who knows? You know, whatever floats your boat.
I know we're running way late. Let's take one call. What would you do for this eye surgery tomorrow? Hello, what would you do?
Hi, I was going to call about the airline thing.
Airline? I thought you were calling about what would you do?
Well, I was going to bake you bread.
You were going to what?
Bake banana bread.
You were gonna make, you were gonna bake a spread?
Right.
And how were you gonna deliver the bread?
Like, by car.
Honey, why would we give you a $5,000 prize because you're going to make us banana bread?
Because it's really good.
Do you wear glasses?
Yeah.
And you want this surgery?
Right.
And you're thinking you're going to win just by coming down here and baking us some banana bread?
It's really good.
No, they're, you better offer some manual relief or something with that. No, the answer is no. No, thank you.
Okay, can I talk about the airline?
No. Hello, Don and Mike show. She wanted to make, she wanted to make us some cunny nut loaf.
With real yeast.
Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike. How are you doing?
Hi. What would you do for laser eye surgery?
Well, I'm in Sacramento right now getting ready to go to an important meeting, and I will drive to the airport, park my car, and get whatever available ticket I can, get on that plane, and get out there.
Well, what would you do when you get here?
Well, I mean, I'll take the surgery.
Oh, you don't get extra credit just for flying across the country.
No, you got to come up with something for us. Hi, what would you do for laser eye surgery?
Hi, I would masturbate on Main Street.
Okay, but that would get you arrested,
and we wouldn't be able to do that.
Okay, you can, I'll cover myself. I'll, like, run and do it.
No, no,
I'll make
thank
sure
you.
The police don't catch me.
No, thanks. Hello, Don and Mike show.
That would be the run and shoot offense.
Hello.
Radio God.
Hi, what would you do?
I will have sex with every woman in that studio, fat, slim, and okay. All sizes.
Oh, thanks for the effort.
Okay. Listen, obviously the real participants are not calling yet.
Yes,
not
these
yet.
Are the early participants that call as soon as the idea comes into their brain.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey.
Hey, what would you do for the surgery?
What would I do? I would light a firecracker between my two pillows.
You would light a firecracker between your ass cheeks?
Yes, sir.
How big a firecracker?
I've got several different types. I can bring them down.
Yeah, I know that won't fly. I know that stuff by heart now, the stuff that we'd be allowed to do and we would not be allowed to do.
Let me ask somebody. I'll leave you on hold, though. You're probably right that they probably wouldn't let us.
Yeah, it's something that can kill someone, you know. I mean, well, not kill him, but I mean, you know, it would blow his ass apart. They just would frown on that.
Yes.
And I know if it was up to you and me, we'd say, hey, you know, let us light the fuse.
Check him out, though. Somebody get his information. He's on line number two.
Hi, Don. Listen, I've got a stick of TNT here, and I'm going to put it in my mouth and light it like a cigar.
You'd be the winner.
There you go.
Blow your head clean off.
Save the eyes.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I'd get a tattoo of you guys on my chest.
A tattoo of us on your chest.
Your faces.
Pretty good.
Not bad.
I wouldn't be able to do it tomorrow, but you know,
well,
I can.
Well then, goodbye.
Oh.
Damn. No. Oh,
thanks, though.
Killer. Hello, Don and Mike show. What would you do?
Hello? Speak to us.
All right. Hi, Don and Mike show. What would you do?
Yes, I would give Don manual release with banana bread.
All right. Nobody wants to take this seriously right now.
Serious callers, yes. Mr. Scholarship winner.
Get his information, though. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, I was talking about the laser eye surgery.
Yes, what would you do?
Have my wife or my dog lick peanut butter out of my bunghole.
I might go for your wife doing that.
Yeah, for the surgery. What the heck? She'd do it for me.
Do you think your wife would lick peanut butter out of your duke?
I would think so.
You would think so?
Yeah, she'd do it if I told her to.
Would your dog do it?
Well, my dog loves peanut butter, yeah, so probably. But
are you sure? Probably. Come on, you know for sure he'd do it. Because he's done it before. He's done it before.
I knew you guys were going to think that. No, I haven't, but I was just trying to think of something, you know, off the top of my head, and that's what I came up with.
I would choose the wife before the dog.
Hey, I'll do it, yeah, sure.
All right, hold on a second.
Thanks.
Hold on, have to run that one up the flagpole.
Hold on. Hello, Don and Mike show.
I will bring you Sam Hoff's head on a silver platter.
Come on. Hello, Don and Mike, what would you do?
I will give you manual relief.
You know, I heard enough of that to be intrigued.
Yeah. She wanted to give us all manual relief, I think.
That's right. She's the winner.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I'd let a dog, any dog of your choice, drink milk out of my mouth.
That's a wonderful, you know, it's an oldie, but it's a goodie.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's pretty good.
But do you have a dog that you could bring with you?
Well, he's kind of big, and I'm in New York. It'd be tough to get him there. I'd let you provide the dog.
What do you mean you're in New York?
Where are you in New York?
In Rochester.
You mean you'd be willing to come down to D.C. tomorrow?
I think I could work it out, yeah.
Well, if you came to D.C., you'd have to bring your own dog.
Mm.
I don't feel quite right supplying the dog.
Yeah, he's like 100 pounds. I mean, he's a really
Put them in your car.
Yeah. How long a drive down there is it?
Well, you know, we get a good one like this. I'm in Rochester, and I don't have a dog.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
That's the guy that watched Letterman and got the idea.
Right. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Hi, please turn down your radio. What would you do?
Shave my head.
No, that's not good enough. Not sick enough. Thank
no?
you. No, that's probably the only good one I think we've gotten, really, although I love the guy who would put the firecracker in his ass and light it.
Right.
Is the guy who would have his wife lick peanut butter out of his Duke. I don't know if that's doable either.
Yeah, but that's what makes them good, you know, when they're right on that line.
Right.
When we have to run them by the, you know, it's just fun to hear those.
So we'll ask, and you keep calling. We'll take more. Either way, we're giving away the surgery tomorrow. Tomorrow we're doing the What Would Ye Do show.
Ye.
So all of ye call us, we will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Okay, hi, this is Dorm Radio, D-O-R-M, broadcasting live from the basement of the science building.
If you don't like them, you can go eat one. The Don and Mike Show.
We're going to take the calls for the contest tomorrow. And I know you guys alluded to this on Friday. I want to devote a lot of time to the entire article in the Inquirer about Regis and his mistress.
Hey, Regis likes oral.
You got to hear the details.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It's a fantastic article. Complete with love letters, pictures of this pig.
Right.
And this is only the girl who was giving Regis
oral.
Hi, honey, I want to ask you one thing. She looks like the girl who was the secretary on Dream On.
Really?
Do you remember the fat girl from Dream On?
Oh, my God.
So there she is on the cover of the Inquirer.
Aye, wear your fur coat.
Regis's mistress.
God, you're cute.
Hey, honey?
Yes.
Of course, again, happy anniversary.
Oh, thank you again.
The one thing that I did want to mention, and I forgot to mention about the weekend, that my weekend was not only just going down to Tampa doing the game. Frida and I went to the movies. And we went to see a movie that she did not want to see, though she was pleasantly surprised by.
Right.
Space Cowboys.
Right.
With, you know, Tommy Lee Jones, Clint Eastwood, James Garner.
No, it was good.
Real good, real funny movie.
Uh-huh.
However, just one time, I would like to be the one not to see it. I would like you to say what happened in the theater and how was it handled.
There were noisy people behind us. Surprise, surprise.
Right. Okay. Now, listen, I know you think that I always blow this out of proportion.
And I don't know, you took your sweet pill lately. You are, you know, you were agreeable to see whatever movie I wanted. You know it annoys me when you make a scene about noisy people. And you didn't do anything, and they were even annoying me. So I had to turn around more than once, but finally it was effective on about the second or third turnaround and stare directly into their faces.
Wow. These morons...
Stop talking.
These morons were just yapping, and I mean speaking normal audio level. Oh, look at that. That's supposed to be Clint Eastwood when he was a young man. I think that they've dubbed in the dialogue for that.
You know, idiots.
It's total
morons that do this.
Mm-hmm.
Because they just don't get it. And they must think that they are not heard. I don't get it.
And I was... I wanted to turn around and just scream at these people.
Sure.
You are the type of people who should wait for this movie to come out on tape so you can talk to your television.
Right.
But she turned around and looked, and Rob just asked me, were they old? I don't know what they look like.
No,
my wife
no
looked
because
at them.
You were sweetly, you know, staring straight ahead. They were, you know, they were, I don't know, 30s-ish in that ballpark. Mm, 30,
old enough to know better,
right.
And young enough not to be Phoebes.
Not kids, not deaf.
Freaking dopes. All right, honey, thank you.
All right, boo-boo. Well, I will be your white knight in those situations from now on. It worked quite well. And you know what? I think it sometimes works better coming from the woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe so.
It's less threatening.
Maybe so, but God damn, they were big mouths. All right, love
all
you,
right,
honey.
Love you, too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, it worked out perfectly yesterday because we were looking in the paper. She says, let's go to a movie last night. And I said, I'll see whatever you want to see, but I wanted to see the Clint Eastwood movie.
Right, right.
So I said, look, you got Hollow Man. She didn't want to see that. I said,
did you want to go see Hollow Man?
Yeah, of course I did. Looks like a good movie.
Kevin Bacon.
What
you never miss a Kevin Bacon movie.
What Lies Beneath.
That's a good movie.
She wanted to see that. I wasn't crazy about it. But I said, hey, whatever you want to see. And coincidentally, we got there, and everything was sold out except the movie with the old farts. So that's what we saw. It's good.
That's good. I wish I'd seen it. I went to see The Clumps over the weekend.
weekend, and I know it was a choice between the clumps and the, and it was fun at the beginning, but then it just it lost a lot of its energy, and we ended up splitting because it was just not sustainable, you know, and they didn't do enough of the bathroom humor. You know how they get? They're slamming the movie for doing too much bathroom humor. There wasn't enough for me. I wanted more. I wanted more of him breaking wind and the birthday candle turning into a raging inferno in the all-you-can-eat buffet restaurant. That's what I wanted. But it was too much drama, actually, trying to make those goofy characters, those Muppet suits that Eddie Murphy's wearing, into, you know, real, like, drama. It just doesn't work. It's got to be comedy, comedy, comedy. And when I'm not getting enough of it, I'm out of there. So it got boring after
a while. Well, Space Cowboys is good because for the first time in a while, Clint Eastwood is not portraying himself as some type of macho stud. Right.
Yeah, he's past that now. He's starting to play his age a little bit more.
Although in the beginning of the movie, the government agency does find him when he's banging his wife in the garage.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's got to be Virile Clint.
But the funniest part is he's in a put-down fight with Tommy Lee Jones.
Right.
And Tommy Lee Jones says to him, "Well, look at your turkey neck. You got a turkey." And Clint Eastwood says, "Well, look at your bad skin."
Hey, that's good.
It's like, so, you know, they're really goofing on each other.
Great. Is the oldest looking guy in that group Garner?
Yes.
Yeah, Garner's, yeah. Well, he probably is the oldest of the group, but I saw in the trailer, you know, you're looking at all of them going, who's longest in the tooth? And
Donald Sutherland looks the best out of the four of those
parts.
Yeah,
yeah, well, I think he's had something done.
Hello. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don, Mike, it's Eric, how you doing?
Hi, Eric, what would you do, what would ye do tomorrow for laser eye surgery?
Well, I have a couple things in mind, but first of all, let me tell you, happy anniversary, Don. It's a big step in your life.
Thank you.
Here's what I'm offering. I live local. I've got a pretty hairy chest. I want you to know that. From neck down to navel. So I was thinking either to duct tape or maybe to wax, either all or half it off, simultaneously eating maybe some earthworms or something. And then if you're feeling up to it, I can run maybe 5 miles around the studio outside with my chest half waxed and exposed.
I don't know how I feel about it being waxed. If you want to come down with duct tape and peel off your chest hair while you eat worms,
yes,
that's a pretty good one.
Sure. Yeah, and you do it all yourself. You put the duct tape on and then you yank it off.
You guys would have no hands-on whatsoever. Simply watch and enjoy.
And you eat the worms.
And eat the worms.
Okay.
All right, good. Very good. That's you're a finalist.
That's our first contestant. Get his information, please. Hello, Don and Mike show. Who's this?
Hey, this is Big Dave.
Big Dave.
Out in the fireworks and the two pillows. Verdict for that.
Big Dave. The answer is no on that.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry. You cannot put fireworks in your anus.
Now that you're not gonna do it, Dave, how are you going to do that without hurting yourself?
Exactly.
No, I could do this. It could be done, but
Dave, that's not a good enough answer. Have you done it before?
No, I have not.
All right. Thank you, Dave.
Have a good one.
Now,
you give it no thought.
We do not yet have an answer from the people on the third floor
about the peanut butter.
About the peanut butter. They are still thinking about that.
You know, I don't know whether to be excited or repelled by that idea.
Hello, Don and Mike show. What would ye do for free laser surgery?
I would go Survivor on you.
What do you
go
mean?
To a pet store, buy a... kill it, skin it.
Buy a what?
A rat.
Yeah, that would be all right. Cook a rat and eat it, sure.
Buy it, kill it, cook it, eat it.
Yeah, that's absolutely doable.
Very good.
Hold on, we'll get your information. All right, that's two contestants.
That's good. You know, about that guy with the peanut butter, I'd certainly find it a little better if he was going to do that to his wife. You know what I mean? As opposed to his wife doing it to him.
Yeah. You're so hetero.
I am.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
I really am.
Hey, how you doing?
Hello.
Hi, how are you doing?
But admit there's a grosser factor about her doing it to him.
Oh, absolutely. Much grosser.
Hello.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
You wanted to have somebody do the dog with the milk thing. I live locally. I'd be more than happy to have my dog drink milk out of my mouth. I'd even cover my mouth with peanut butter if you wanted.
You know, that guy had an awful car phone. Did he want to do that thing for the Letterman show?
Yeah, I think it's a fun trick to watch. I mean, it's a slam dunker every time it's done.
So the person puts milk in his mouth.
Yeah, it was done on Letterman, and I saw it done on a Stupid Pet Tricks where the person puts milk in their mouth and then opens their mouth, and the dog comes down and drinks out of the mouth like it's a bowl. It is absolutely hysterically funny. I don't care if we're stealing it from Letterman. It's funny.
Well, is that phone any better? Hello?
Yeah, I think I got a better connection now.
Is that what you want to do?
Sure.
All right. Yeah, then...
Can I get the laser surgery for my wife instead of myself?
Sure.
Yeah, I'd be more than happy to see that.
Okay, hold on. We'll get your information. Hold on, please. Hello. Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I'll take a pair of rusty tweezers and dip them in Vicks Vapor Rub and then pluck out every one of my nose hairs.
Take tweezers... What put them in Vapor Rub? What does that do?
It's a burning sensation. And it's very painful, not to mention the hair, and you can inspect it with bright lights and, you know, all sorts of magnifying aids.
It's interesting.
You know, I don't know. I was going to throw it away, but now that I think about it, I think, just the thought of a guy, you don't even have to do it with a Vapor Rub. A guy just coming down.
Pulling out your nose hairs with tweezers.
Pulling out all of your nose hairs with tweezers.
It'll take a couple minutes. It'll take some time, but, I mean, over the course of your show, we could probably fit it in.
No, you would have a very brief amount of time to do it.
Yeah, you'd want to get the most nose hairs in the shortest period of time.
Like the most we'd possibly give you would be 5 minutes.
Therein lies the challenge.
Ooh. All right. Well, if you think it would fly, then
sure.
I know what I need to do.
Sure. Hold on, please. Someone will get your information.
That's not bad. Yeah, but that's a no-show.
Yeah,
I'll tell you that right now. Yeah, absolutely.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
All right, Don and Mike.
Hi. What would you do?
I would shave my entire body and cover it in anything you guys choose.
Well, I don't want to see a guy shave his genitals. I don't want to be like Mike Tyson. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
But that peanut butter thing's okay for you, isn't it?
Hello?
Yeah, it is.
Someday I'll figure you out.
Hello. Yeah, okay, right, I understand your predicament. I don't want a guy to come down and shave his genitals.
Right.
But it's okay for a guy to put peanut butter in his duke and have his wife lick it out.
And whenever the subject of the butt comes up, you are just, kill that subject, but your eyes seem to light up with the peanut butter idea.
Well, it's because it's repulsive. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Please, turn down your radio. What would ye do?
Me?
Yeah.
What I would do, I would hula hoop naked while singing I Can See Clearly Now.
You're in. On down. Come on. I think that's the wrong theme. That's for the wrong place. But, yeah, you can hula hoop naked and sing a song. Come on down.
Great.
Hold on, please, honey. Hi, here is Carlos Broyhill.
There's a woman outside who wanted to come in and tell you what she would do. She wasn't able to get through on the phone.
Sure. Bring her in.
Okay.
Wheel her in.
Usually when Mr. Broyhill comes in and tells us this, it's usually something we won't be disappointed in.
I don't think so.
There she is.
Very good. Here she's walking in right now. Hello.
Pretty hot.
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
Good.
Hi, what's your name?
I'm Amy.
And what would you do? What would ye do for the surgery?
Well, the scary thing is I don't need it myself. It'd be for my husband.
That was very generous of you.
Licking everybody's feet in here.
Licking everybody's feet?
I would just go with you.
Would your wife allow your feet to be licked? Mine probably wouldn't.
I don't think Frida would have a problem with it.
It's a hygienic thing.
I don't want some girl licking my feet.
Oh, no. Okay.
And you see, my wife knows how much I would enjoy having my feet licked, so she probably 86 it.
Although you could certainly lick Buzz's feet.
You could lick Buzz's feet. You know, we'd let you...
How would you feel about Buzz? Is that toenail fungus cleared up enough?
yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty good. Hey, Rob, would Carrie let your feet be licked?
No, I don't think so, especially since I went to high school with this girl.
Oh!
You even graduated. Really?
You look great, by the way.
Thank you.
That's terrific.
Yeah, well, come down and, go crazy. Go oral on Buzz's feet.
Do you want to include your bitches in on that?
Yeah. Oh, that's right. An excellent idea. Yeah. Would you suck Lisa and Toya's toes and lick their feet also?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
You're in the feet. Do you like feet?
Well,
feet don't repel you, obviously, if that's the case.
My husband has pretty bad feet, and I have licked his feet.
Oh, wow. Incredible.
And it is for him, so maybe it's a testament that I've been married under a year, and I'm willing to do this for him.
Wow. Oh, well, that's the man whose feet you're really going to go to town on.
Buzz, right there.
Hopefully went out to lunch with you one day.
Really?
All right. Let's nix this conversation.
All right.
We will see you tomorrow.
Okay.
See you tomorrow.
Bye bye. Never seen that woman before in my life.
Bye-bye. Wow. How interesting, Buzz.
Hello.
Did she lick your feet after you ate lunch?
Not at my show.
I don't know.
Particularly the Olive Garden?
No, of course not.
Hello. Hi.
Yeah, I'll let you kick me in the nuts.
No, I don't want to kick you in the nuts.
We're not allowed to do that. That would be one that we wouldn't be. You can't injure somebody.
I'll hit myself in the nuts.
I don't think you could do that either.
Well, I don't know why a guy couldn't hit himself in the nuts.
I think we had it before as far as dropping a book in, and then we weren't able to do it.
I think it was just nobody ever wanted to really do it. Although I don't think this guy is serious. I don't think he's one of our callers who's serious anyway. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, guys. Hi, got a good one for you.
What would you do?
I'm going to pull my hairy spider through my zipper, shave it, and then dip it in Icy Hot.
You're gonna? Are you talking about something with your penis?
No, my balls.
No, thank you.
My hairy spider.
Hello.
Wow.
Don and Mike Show.
What's wrong with people?
Hello. What would you do?
Don and Mike.
Yes, what would ye do?
Hey, radio guys.
What would you do with your hairy spider?
I will personally orally satisfy Big Joe DiCaprio.
Oh, I don't want to see that.
No, I don't either.
I don't want to see that.
How about Dennis Murphy?
I don't think Dennis wants that. Hello, Don and Mike Show. What would ye do?
Hello?
However, I'm still okay on the peanut butter thing. Hello?
Right, here's what I would do, guys. I will drink a bottle of Tabasco sauce and then drink 2 gallons of water.
Well, what does that do?
A bottle of Tabasco sauce?
Yeah.
It burns like anything.
Well, then drink a bottle of Tabasco sauce and not the water.
All right, I won't drink the water.
It'd be better if you didn't.
Yeah, all right. If you want to come down and drink a bottle of Tabasco sauce, chug it, sure.
All right.
But we'd have to verify that to make sure it's not, that you've not put something in that looks like Tabasco that's not really Tabasco.
Absolutely. That's fine. You can taste it.
So you know what? No, it'll have to be sealed. Don't they sell that junk sealed?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, good. Okay, you're in.
All right.
Hold on, please.
Sure.
Down from outside Lafayette, Louisiana.
Up. Hold on. The rat guy chickened out. The guy who wanted to go to a pet store and get a rat and eat it, he chickened out.
Okay.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yes.
Yeah, hi. Yes, what would ye do?
I'll make a peanut butter sandwich and eat it in front of you. How's that?
Okay. F you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, I got a question for you guys.
Hi, what
you
would
think, you think if they incinerate Alec Guinness's body, they'd have enough to fill a pint?
Yeah, that was some Alec Guinness joke.
It's a Guinness Stout joke.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
They said if they incinerate Alec Guinness's body, you think they'll have enough to fill a pint.
Hello? Might have been good if his phone wasn't so...
Yeah. See, I picked up on Rob. I saw this one, and then when I saw Rob's jaw unhinging.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello? Pint of Guinness. Hey, it's a drinker's joke. What can we say?
What would ye do?
Hey, I'm thinking about taking a ride down a slip and slide that had on it.
That had what?
Poop patties.
Poop patties?
Well, stop it. You're not serious.
Knock it off. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys. How you doing? This is Gary in Sacramento.
Yes, hi, Gary.
Hey, I go down and kick Grant Napier's ass personally and then send his dirty underwear to you.
Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, what's going on there,
please,
guys?
Turn down your radio. What would you do?
I would make a sandwich with my own feces and then eat it.
Okay. Listen, much as we would love that, I think, haven't they already told us?
Yes.
And people, I can see fine. I just like that.
People eating their own poop is something that they can't do.
Yeah, go to scatlover.com.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
My brothers, how are you?
Hi, what would you do?
I will clean the studio bathroom.
With a toothbrush?
With whatever you want me to clean it with.
And your tongue.
Well, not that far.
Okay, then, goodbye. Hello, Don and Mike Show. What would ye do?
Could use a cleaning.
I mean, come on, it's a $5,000 prize.
Absolutely.
What would ye do?
I would stand on my head and eat a half dozen cockroaches.
I wouldn't mind seeing that.
That's great.
Live.
Standing on his head, too, to add a little bit to it, you know, the cockroach. Where do you get the cockroaches?
Actually, my neighbor works at a pet store.
Wow, that's great.
Sure, do they sell cockroaches as pets?
Yeah, no, I mean for snakes and all to eat.
Oh, really?
Okay, sure, hold on, please.
Okay.
Domestically raised cockroaches.
Hello, Don and Mike Show, what would ye do?
I don't need laser surgery, but I just want to mention that the guy who wants to drink the Tabasco sauce, it'd probably kill him if he drank the whole bottle.
Sure, why would it kill him?
Because all the Tabasco, it's actually a poison.
Then how come there's not a skull and crossbones on the Tabasco bottle?
Because they don't think any retards are going to drink the whole thing.
And where are you getting this information from?
High school.
Oh, no, but Tabasco sauce would not kill you.
Yeah, if you drink the whole thing.
I don't think so. No, it can't.
If it would kill you...
It would not be for human consumption.
Even if people are retards, they would have to put a warning on there.
All right, do you guys know what horseradish sauce is?
Of course, yeah.
That'll do the exact same thing, and there's no skull and crossbone on that.
No, but hot stuff, it'll be burning going in, but the acid that's inside your stomach is far more corrosive and dangerous than what you would put into your stomach.
I'm telling you, when it hits your lungs and stuff,
Tabasco and horseradish will not kill you.
And I've got news for you, sir. When it goes down your esophagus, it doesn't hit your lungs, doctor.
All right, you guys then watch the guy die on your show. Good
great.
Luck.
That'd be great for ratings. Thank you.
A naysayer from every
when it,
time.
When you drink it and it goes through your lungs into your stomach.
I love Don and Mike's show.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What would you do?
I got an idea. How about we fill up a big one of those trash cans, put some concrete in it, and I get in there. We let it harden up.
Now that can kill you.
Right. Hello, Don and Mike's show. What would you do?
I give my hemorrhoids lance with no anesthesia.
Hello, what would you do?
I thought that last guy was joking, incidentally.
I know.
Yeah.
He's done it before.
Hello, Don and Mike's show. What would you do?
What would I do?
Yeah.
I was just calling about the guy that was going to do the Tabasco sauce.
Yes.
I'll talk to Don and Mike about that.
Yeah, you're on the air, sir.
Oh, good. Have you ever seen someone do that?
No.
You couldn't pay me $1 million to do that. I saw, you know, you always had this one friend that hangs out that does the stupid stuff trying to get everybody to laugh.
Mm-hmm.
This guy reached across the bar, grabbed the bottle of the stuff, and drank it full. Every blood vessel in his eyeballs blew.
Right, but he did not die, did he?
He was taken out in a paramedic team. He was in.
Now wait a minute, wait, hold on a second. Are you telling the truth?
I swear to God.
Where were you and how? And tell us how this happened.
We were down at Mr. Day's in D.C. This is about 10 years ago. This guy Dave, I won't say his last.
Listen, I don't believe him. We will call a doctor. And we will ask a doctor.
Yeah, we'll get him. We don't do this stuff lightly.
Drink a bottle of Tabasco sauce and it will kill you.
He blew out every vessel his eyeballs.
That's the case.
They took him. And if that's the truth, I'm sure a doctor would say, you know, don't have him do that.
But then why wouldn't there be a warning on the bottle of Tabasco sauce?
Well, I don't know.
Saying you.
I mean, I don't know. But I
blow out your eyeballs.
Well, they're probably, they don't feel it. Like, you know, I'd love to see a bottle of Tabasco sauce and see if they say, do not drink the whole bottle at once.
I don't think they do.
It will blow out your eyeballs. Well, you know what? Let me call Connie Honey.
I bet we have Tabasco.
Yeah, we have it at
home.
Find out what it says on the label.
Hello?
Hey, sweetie, do we have Tabasco sauce?
I think so. Do you want me to check?
Yes, would you please?
Oh, sure.
It's probably in the pantry.
Oh.
Under no circumstances to win $5,000 in laser eye surgery. Hey, if you blew out every vessel in your eyeballs, probably help you the laser eye surgery. You might not think you can imagine that, though. If that was really true and the guy's going, bleh, bleh, bleh. What do you think? It's like a cartoon.
Like Beetlejuice. His eyes poking out of his head.
Steam coming out.
My head blowed up.
Oh, no. My eyeballs have exploded. You better call 911.
Thank you.
Funny.
What?
I don't see you, Eddie. I see cayenne pepper. What do you need it for?
You see cayenne pepper? Don't you see any Tabasco? Look in their fridge.
Okay, we have Worcestershire.
No, we need Tabasco.
Or as Paul Prudhomme says, we're Chestershire sauce.
Or as Emerald says, what's this here sauce?
What's this here sauce?
Do we have it, honey?
I'm not seeing it, baby.
All right. Okay, thank you.
Find the sauce, honey.
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
All right.
Do I need to pick some up?
No, it's for a guy wants to drink a bottle of it tomorrow, and somebody said he would die or that his eyeballs would explode if he drank a bottle of Tabasco sauce.
Well, I can pick some up. I've got a bit
good. No. The question was if there's a warning on the bottle.
Oh, all right.
We don't need any. Thank you.
Okay, bye, sweetie.
Bye, honey. Bye.
Okay. We're very disappointed.
Yeah, I thought we had it. For Christ's sake. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Liberace was a master at the piano, but he sucked on the organ.
Yeah, that's not too old.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hi.
I just wanted to call about the guy with the Tabasco that said it'll kill him. The other guy said the guy had paramedic team bring him away.
Yeah.
I think that's BS because I had a friend, Jeff. I offered to pay for all his drinks in Dewey Beach 2 years ago if he would eat the whole bottle of dry red peppers, and that's way worse than Tabasco sauce. He ate the whole thing. He had a hard time doing it.
All right, thank you.
And he was wheezing and everything, and he said he had some trouble going to the bathroom the next day. Mm. But he was fine after about 20 minutes, and I paid for his drinks that night, so it's BS. It won't kill you.
Thank you.
That's a good idea.
Thanks. Yeah. There's our expert right there.
You know, I was feeling fine about the Tabasco sauce until that call.
Dr. Detroit call again. Listen, timeout. We will take more of your call, one more go-around with people with what would you do. And don't worry about the Tabasco. We will research it ourselves.
Yeah, but if anybody's got stories about friends that have consumed Tabasco sauce, I'd like to hear more about exploding eyeballs.
But that'll tie up the phone lines for other people with other stuff.
A friend of mine ate a feces sandwich and then drank Tabasco sauce, and he was taken to the emergency room.
And for goodness sakes, are you still there, peanut butter guy?
Hey, yeah, I'm still here.
Can we please get an answer about this guy and his wife eating the peanut butter out of his dookie?
Yeah, it's just like a Reese's peanut butter cup. Two great tastes, they go great together.
Oh, God! I'll get an answer for you, and we'll find out about the Tabasco. We'll see if there's anybody else that wants to play this game, and we come right back.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show.
Coming from...
What do they teach you to scrap at school?
Do you ever think, like, why are we born?
Madame de Stael said, in life one must choose between boredom and suffering.
Go to your room.
I'm serious. Why were we born? We were born because of Adam and Eve, that's why. Now go upstairs and do your math. Algebra? That's the most boring.
Well, your other choice is suffering. You want to start now?
Sit down, Danny, and listen to the Don and Mike Show.
Listen, we have seven contestants lined up thus far for tomorrow's What Would Ye Do show. We'll take a couple of more calls, and then we have to move on. Also on tomorrow's show, the cheerleaders from the movie The Replacements are coming in.
All right.
And they're going to tell us all of the bad things that Keanu Reeves and Gene Hackman did to them.
Yay!
During the filming of the movie Replacements.
Was there any peanut butter involved?
Now listen, speaking of that, peanut butter guy.
Yeah, what's up?
No one has given us an answer, so I'm telling you, yes.
Okay, sounds good.
You show up tomorrow with peanut butter and your wife, you're in.
Okay, sounds good.
See
you guys tomorrow.
Bye-bye. See you tomorrow. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey.
Hi, what would ye do?
I would let my two ferrets lick a ferret laxative off of my tongue.
You would let your two ferrets do what?
There's a ferret laxative called Laxatone, and I would put it on my tongue and let them lick it off my tongue at the same time.
Why does it have to be that? Is there anything else they could lick off your tongue?
Well, they're very picky, so it's something that I know that they would go for.
All right.
Yeah, if you want to have ferrets lick whatever it is off your tongue, sure.
Okay.
Okay, hold on, please. Hold on, we'll see you tomorrow.
You have to wait for a few hours to see if the ferret laxative took effect.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, got one for you. How about if we get a baby pool, put some cow manure in it, we take a bath in it for 30 minutes, we'll do it.
I think, first off, how about... You get a baby pool, and you get cow manure.
Yep.
You know what? I don't know. We would have to ask.
That was ixnayed on. Or you wanted to have people go through that one time.
Oh, did I really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, then you couldn't. Sorry.
We can't do that one.
Sorry. No. Bye-bye.
All right. Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Hello, Don and Mike Show. What would ye like to do?
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hey, Mike, what's your handicap in golf?
8.
All right, I'm willing to lay on my back, put a tee in my mouth, and let you smash a ball right off my mouth.
I'm not that good an 8. I wouldn't want to take that chance, but you know, I would do it.
I'm serious too.
Would you do it like with a wiffle golf ball?
Yeah.
Although it's not really the golf ball, it's more
club.
It's you with a club.
It's exactly. Me with a club. It's me with the club.
I mean, I'd probably put a mouthpiece in or something, but
mm-hmm.
I'm willing to try.
How about it, Mike? That's real pressure on your golf game.
It is. I'd try it.
You want to try it?
I'd give it a try.
All right.
Okay. Hold on, please.
Okay.
I wouldn't take a full swing though.
Good.
You know, because, I mean, I'm not that good. I top drives all the time. You know, if I miss, you know, if it happened to be a pop-up, you know, where you hit too low on the ball, I'd take the guy's whole set of teeth out.
Cost of doing business. Hello. How does Mike show? We get him to sign the waiver.
He signs the waiver. I'm fine.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, what would you do?
I would hang out with Charles Broyhill for the entire episode of the show.
Brilliant.
And he hangs up.
Mm-hmm. Brilliantly said, and then he hangs up. Okay, I think that's it, right? Unless, who's this guy? Hi, who's this? Which guy are you?
Hi, Don Mike.
Oh, what would you do?
I would take a can of hot peppers that you get in the pizza shop, pour it on top of a slice of pizza, and eat the entire thing.
No. No, thank you. Ooh. Bye-bye. I think we got plenty. I think we got 9 or 10 now. And if they show up, it'll be a good show tomorrow. And if you got something you want to do, just show up tomorrow. Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Toothless Fairfax. You can't miss it. It's a gigantic CBS building.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Come on by. Now, the one thing we do want to try to do is call the Tabasco Company.
McElhaney in New Iberia, Louisiana.
And we know that because we've got an affiliate down there.
Mm-hmm.
And when we went to Lafayette, Louisiana...
Janu McElhaney kept me.
Hi, this is the Don and Mike Show. Do you mind going on the air with us for a second? We have a question about Tabasco.
Sir, I'm on the switchboard. I'm not able to do that.
Could you put me through to somebody, please, honey?
Sure.
Thank you.
God, everywhere you go. You think that in C word.
Is it New Iberia?
Right. Not far from Lafayette.
She's so busy. Anyway, when we went to Lafayette to do a live show. Hello?
Hello.
Hi, this is the Don and
Mike
Show. Very good.
Okay.
God.
All right, so anyway, when we went down there to do a live show,
mm-hmm.
the Tabasco company gave us all shirts and ties and junk that said Tabasco on, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, they'll give every disc jockey in the world a golf shirt, but they won't, you know, two employees won't even go on the air with it.
Hello, this is the Don and Mike Radio Show. Would you mind going on the air with us for a second? We have a question about Tabasco.
What is Don and Mike's radio show?
Don and Mike is a show on the Westwood Radio Network, and we're heard all over the country. And we're doing a little contest involving Tabasco, and we're curious
about...
You're
not X-rated or anything like that?
No,
not at all.
No.
You don't have any agenda or anything?
This is not an agenda.
No goddamn agenda.
This is actually a pretty simple question about your product.
Listen, here's the question.
Well, I don't know you. That's the reason I'm asking.
Okay, well, listen...
I'm in the wrong part of the country.
Okay, no, we're on down there, Pat.
We're on in Lafayette, Louisiana.
Okay, great.
All right, listen. Here's the question. Some guy calls us. We're doing a contest tomorrow. What would you do to win eye surgery? A guy says he'll drink a bottle of your Tabasco. Some other guy calls and says, if you drink a bottle of Tabasco sauce, it'll kill him. Some other guy calls and says he had a friend who drank a whole bottle of Tabasco sauce. And what happened to
his blood vessel in his eyeballs exploded, and he had to be taken away to the emergency room.
And our theory was, if that was true, you guys would have to put a skull and crossbones on your bottles of Tabasco sauce. You'd have to put a health warning on there.
So we were just curious as to, you know, what insight you could give us as to the, you know, the effect of your product if somebody was to drink a whole bottle of it.
Well, Tabasco is strong, but it's not as strong as the acid in your stomach.
Uh-huh. Mike said that.
Thank
so,
you.
For the record, from the Tabasco company, it would not kill you, correct?
No, I don't think so. No. Not unless you drank so much that it... Anything. Well, I guess if you drank too much water, it would kill you.
That's
but no, if you just drank a 2 ounce or less, or even the miniature bottle, it would might cause you some... strange discomfort, but would not kill. To my knowledge, it certainly would not kill you.
And you guys don't put any warnings on there saying don't drink this, you'll kill yourself, right?
Oh, no, absolutely not.
All right, thank you. Thank you for your time.
All right, sure.
Hey, you can do something, though, about the help up front.
Yeah.
They were mighty unfriendly.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, do you know who I am?
No.
I'm Paul McElhaney, the president of the company.
Hey.
Oh, wow.
Good stuff.
Wow.
Give him credit for putting you straight through to me.
Two phone calls and we get the president of the company. Hey, was it your idea to come up with all the products, like the ties and the shirts and that kind of stuff?
Well, I was one of many, but yeah, I've been a big proponent of that.
Well, good.
California, by the way, where are you all?
We're in Washington, D.C.
But we're on in California.
You're in Washington, D.C.
But our show is heard everywhere.
You know, what was it? I think Al Gore just said he made a power burger and he had Tabasco all through it. So Tipper says she wasn't going to eat it, but that just came through on the news wire the other day.
Incidentally, we're now officially voting for the other guy. Because,
when it comes to Tabasco, I'm ecumenical.
Gore's vice president.
Very anti-media.
He's the guy that's anti-radio. The guy that wants...
Lieberman is?
Yeah.
Yeah, he wants to shut us all down, you know, wants to censor us.
So, Christ, we're going to have to go for Bush.
Going to have to pull the Republican ticket.
Got to do it.
Well, anyway, listen, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
What?
And I'm just looking at Rob.
Oh, I know. And you know why Rob's not voting for Gore now.
Right.
Yeah.
Rob.
Of course, Rob. Because God forbid anything happened to Gore,
and
we'd have a Jew president, right?
There you go, Rob.
Right? We wouldn't be. We wouldn't have a deficit.
Look at him. He's all red now. He's all red.
Hey, God. Rob Spiewak.
Robert, you're part Jewish, aren't you?
Yes. Still, he doesn't want a Jew president.
Unbelievable.
Mike. Okay.
Him in the banking industry.
Oh, God. Rob.
Well, anyway, this guy Lieberman,
mm-hmm.
he's a prick when it comes to disc jockeys and the FCC and wants to put restrictions restraint on speech. And he's a big one against Hollywood, blaming Arnold Schwarzenegger for all of our problems.
Yeah, what they're doing is they're, you know, they're obviously picking a guy like this to take care of the Clinton issue. Really brave. Way to go.
That means we're going to the other side.
Absolutely.
Welcome to the other side. Have a nice meeting with G. Gordon Liddy.
Oh, man.
Oh,
I sent a buddy of mine an email about that guy, about Joe Lieberman, because he's been one of the guys that's the proponents of shutting down the shows like this, you know, and doing all of that. And I said, so it looks like I'll be pulling that ticket. And I like, nah. I don't know if I could. I'll have to talk to G. Gordon, though.
I'll vote against him. I mean, at this point, a vote for Bush would be a vote against
Lieberman.
Right. And that's my feeling. Yes, Rob.
I just assumed you all would be voting Libertarian.
Harry Brown.
There's the alternative.
HB.
Or Ralph Nader.
There you go.
Right.
How about Brown Nader ticket? Is it too late for that?
I don't know. If it's brown, flush it down.
That's so true.
If it's yellow, let it mellow.
All right. Thank you, everybody. We're done for tomorrow's contest.
Hey.
I believe we're set.
Great. The peanut butter guy's going to be here?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Coming down with his wife. First act. I got a list for you with all the acts for tomorrow's show.
Fantastic.
Now let's clear these lines. Phone number 877-365-3636. Call 100 right now. Gets a shot at the Benjamins at the $500 with a secret sound.
You know, you put a little Tabasco on that peanut butter and you'd have a real show.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
That's right. I'm coming to your corporate headquarters. My plane gets in its tube and we'll settle this deodorant thing face to face like men. What's your last name again, Phil? All right. I'll see you in 5 hours, Mr. Lacey.
You love to make them hit you, Don and Mike.
Now that was the tape of King and Queens. And that reminds me, we've not heard anything from Leah about her promise to get us on that show, right?
It is August. These are things that should be happening in September.
Meanwhile, that Michael Malley show is called...
Have they?
Yeah.
Yes, Dear?
Yeah, they're definitely interested.
Excellent.
They want us.
Now, what we wanted to do was go out there and knock them both off, you know, in a weekend.
Yeah, we'll get a chance to talk to Leah sometime. Listen, here's what we have absolutely 100% confirmed for tomorrow.
Right.
The guy who will hot wax and then take duct tape and pull the hair off his chest while he eats worms.
Good.
The girl who is going to sing naked and hula hoop.
Hope she shows up.
The guy who's going to drink the Tabasco sauce.
We've checked with our panel of medical experts, and that's a go.
The guy who's going to let the dog drink milk out of his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
The woman who's going to lick Buzz's feet,
mm-hmm.
and by lick, I mean really lick all over.
Between the toes.
Yeah, yeah. And Lisa's feet and Toya's feet, and the guy and his wife with the peanut butter and the Duke.
You saved that one for last.
Those are, that's how it was listed.
Okay.
That's what we have confirmed. I know that a lot of other people called, but apparently a lot of the bug eaters, the rat eater, when they found out we were serious,
right,
they quit.
Absolutely.
So right now that's only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's only 6, so there's definitely room for more tomorrow.
Absolutely.
And we're giving away a $5,000 laser eye surgery. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, buddy, who's this?
This is Vidal.
Fidel?
Yeah.
Fidel, where are you from?
Sacramento.
Fidel, call 100.
Yeah.
Fidel, you won the sex?
Yeah.
And the city prize pack.
The what thing?
Sex in the City.
Oh.
That little bit of that I had to remind me. You see that show last night?
I did. Sex in the City?
Yeah.
No, I didn't, no.
It was actually a funny one. It was about how the one girl, Kim Cattrall,
yeah,
she was given beat, and that's what the whole show is based about.
As good as other guys just.
Wow, that's incredible. They're really a cutting edge there. It's Sex in the City.
As one woman said, none of it's Baskin-Robbins.
I wonder if Candace Bushnell intended that that plot line to be in there when she created Sex in the City, shortly after I took her to the prom.
Got nothing off her.
Yes, as you so often point out.
Here's a girl who wrote a book or a story that turned into a TV show that's all about sex. sex, yet you could get nothing off her at your high school prom.
No, we went as friends. I'd love to have her on the show someday.
We really would.
I really love to get her on.
We are trying to book her.
You know, I mean, I wouldn't know what to say to her. I mean, it's been a million years. But
I know what I'd say to her.
How come you didn't put out for my friend?
Did Mike try to touch you?
I didn't. I was a perfect gentleman. I was actually a very eunuch-like perfect gentleman for lots of my proms.
Did Mike try to feel you down?
No, I didn't.
As opposed to feeling you up?
No, you know, and if she has a different memory of it, she'll be lying.
Listen, you won the Sex in the City prize pack.
All right.
Don't miss the hottest and sexiest show on TV, Sex in the City. New episode this Sunday on HBO. Are you ready to go for the money?
Yes.
Okay, $500 online. Secret sound number 7 is a common everyday sound. You identify it, you win the money. Are you ready?
Yep.
Okay, please don't answer till Mike sings like. Godspeed.
Caller, name this sound.
There's the sound. You know, I actually heard Charles Broyhill calling HBO and trying to book Candace Bushnell as a guest on this show.
And the odds are in my favor.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I hope we get her on the show.
What's the sound?
Is it the sound of a cabinet shutting?
No, thank you.
Nice.
Thank you, no. And don't forget that every guest
is a clue for you.
For ye. All right, our lines will remain open, 877-365-3636. If you got a stunt, something you would do for the laser eye surgery. Tomorrow we're giving away LASIK eye surgery. The LASIK procedure, courtesy of Witten Laser Eye Associates and TLC. For a free screening to see if laser vision is right for you, call 800-626-LASER or go to wittenlasereye.com.
Good.
This guy doesn't F it up. He's good. He did my eyes.
Right.
He's excellent.
It's not like one of those guys you'll see where all of a sudden the laser goes right through the back of your skull.
And he also doesn't charge like $90 an eye.
Right.
I mean, frankly, I would worry if I was going to a guy who charged $900 an eye when there's some other guy charging $2,500 an eye.
Mm-hmm.
I would think when it's your eye, you want the guy who charges more.
Absolutely.
Probably the guy who's not going to F it up.
Right. If anyone's messing with any of my eyes, I want him to be the most expensive guy.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yes, my name's Whitey. I was on hold before and got cut off. Don and Mike played some music for my CD last week, and I wanted to call and thank him.
Who is this?
Whitey.
Oh, is this the guy who wrote the song that said he would like to F off the Pope?
Yeah.
Right, great CD.
Oh, good. Don, I'm sorry I didn't recognize you.
Yeah, great CD.
Good, I'm glad. I really appreciate you playing it. I didn't expect it to get any mention on the air because of the language.
Oh, there wasn't much we could play.
Yeah, I know.
Make sure you mention our name when you start playing the stadiums.
Yeah, that's going to happen real soon.
All right, thank you, Whitey.
I do have an idea, though, if you have a second.
No, we don't. Thank you, though.
Great.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Dave in Baltimore.
Hi, Dave.
You guys were just talking about Sex in the City, and they edited you. They censored you in Baltimore.
How do you know we were edited?
Because you were talking one sentence, and then, I don't know, something bleeped out, and it was a whole other subject matter. I could just tell. The sentence was incomplete. It was edited.
What, were we talking about jizz?
Yes.
Did you edit us out, Charles?
Yes, I did.
Why?
The content.
How dare he?
The content?
Yes.
Okay, what part did you edit out?
The part that pertained to taste in relation to the act.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, when are they going to get us that book that tells us exactly what we can say and what we can't say?
He got a congratulatory call from Senator Joe Lieberman, though, right after he did that.
Right. Well, Joe Lieberman can drink some of mine.
Wow.
Okay? You got that? He can drink a nice big glassful. I'll pour it. You can have it right out of the tap.
It was an excellent episode last night, though.
Yeah, it was. I only wish we could talk about it to you here on our censored radio show.
Censored. We are living in an aura of censorship. Each and every day.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy.
How you doing?
We're doing great, thank you.
Mike.
Yo.
What was up with that show Friday? You suck.
Hey, that's not nice. Come on, knock it off.
We made some very nice donuts in here, and we had a terrific time.
Everybody, including my wife, told me you did a kick-ass job on Friday.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Now, I hope. See, that was a call that was screened,
mm-hmm.
And I don't know why that guy hung up, but it says on the screen, The guy who wanted to have the dog drink out of his mouth is backing out.
Well, why? That would seem to me to be a very tame event right now.
I don't know. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello? Hello, you're on the air. All right. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Mr. Geronimo.
What?
Hey, do you guys have like a soda vending machine there in the lobby or somewhere?
Oh, yeah, right. We have a photo vending machine.
No, a soda.
Soda.
Dispenses like cans and...
Yeah, we do. Mm-hmm. Soda, yeah. There's one of those somewhere around here.
Win the prize. I will come down. Put my unit through the little doorway where the soda will drop. Put
okay, I don't want a guy putting his penis in our Coke machine.
So many boys want to put their penises places.
I love Don Mike's show.
Hey, a little word to Plunkett out there.
That's the same guy. That's the exact same guy.
Just hung up on him, I thought. Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, I was wondering, instead of getting my laser eye surgery, maybe you guys can do it for my brown eye.
Okay, you know what? Just never mind. We got enough people for tomorrow. We'll go.
Amen.
Here's what it says in the National Enquirer. Now, I know you guys touched on this on Friday, but it was before the actual article came out.
Right.
And the cover today is the National Enquirer, Regis's mistress.
Wow.
His shocking 3-year love affair, how he hid it from wife Joy.
Oh, no.
And right on the cover, it's a picture of Regis with this girl. Like I told you, who looks like the pig who used to be the secretary on Dream On.
Regis with his Notre Dame sweater on.
I mean, she's not hot. And here inside they have a picture of her in a bikini. Oh. And as you can see...
Oh, my God, she's a bow wow.
She's a real pig.
A little pudgy. It's amazing.
Now, the story goes like this. Regis's mistress. His shocking 3-year love affair.
Oh, my God.
And if you watch the Regis Without Kathy C show today, not a mention of it.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Not a mention, of course, like he's going to mention it.
Right.
But Rob said he thought that Regis looked a little uptight.
Yeah, very
tense. Is that
tense.
What you thought?
Very tense.
Very tense
sure,
he was today.
Of course.
Regis Philbin carried on a secret 3-year love affair with a sexy cheerleading coach at the University of Notre Dame. Exclamation point.
Cheerleading coach. So was she the coach of the Notre Dame cheerleaders?
Yes. The 66-year-old who wants to be a millionaire host, a Notre Dame grad, and busty blonde Maria Majerik, age 39, shared a passion for Irish football and a passion for each other in hotel rooms across the country.
Okay, hey, we're playing Penn State this week. I'll meet you at the hotel.
Regis had me strip naked and put my fur coat back on, she said. We made love. It was always pure, raw, raging sex.
Wow.
And even though the couple's romance stretched out over 3 years, Maria said Regis never once mentioned Joy. Well, what a married guy is banging some girl. I doubt if that's the first thing. Hey, I wonder what my wife's doing right now. You know, while he's giving her the baloney pony.
So Regis must have gotten hot and dumped her. That's why she's coming forward, I guess.
He carefully hid the affair from Joy by almost never appearing in public with Maria, ending their trysts in the middle of the night to come home to Joy, and arranging their intimate get-togethers to coincide with his work and travel schedule.
Mm-hmm.
What began as an innocent friendship between Regis and me got out of hand, but I don't regret it. He was wonderful to me, said Maria, who was also married at the time.
God, you're cute.
He was a terrific lover, always gentle, thoughtful, considerate.
Now, on your story on Friday, Buzz... Right. You mentioned that there was no intercourse.
Everything but intercourse is what she was saying before.
Just wait. I think that they're going to get to that. Mm-hmm. We never spent the entire night together, only until 3 or 4 a.m. We just had to get home to his wife, if it was the New York area, and I had to get home to my husband and children, if it was Indiana.
So he'd come home at... I guess he'd get home at 5 a.m. and then get up and go to work.
Wow. Imagine that.
Thanks so much. Honey, I'm home.
Wow. We got together dozens of times over the years we were involved. I was crazy about Regis. I met him at a difficult time in my life, and he was a great support. During Pillow Talk, the Live with Regis and Kathy Lee host told Maria how many times he found Kathy Lee Gifford extremely annoying. Regis said how she drove him crazy. He was always cleaning up her messes. She would say something stupid, the viewers would get upset, and Regis would have to take care of the problem.
I'm the only one that makes that show work, honey. Let's have sex again.
He was always complaining about Kathy Lee and her kids. He told me, she never shuts up about Cody and Cassidy. She gets very boring on that subject. I don't know what's worse, that or her huge mop of hair. Regis said nothing drove him crazy more than Kathy Lee's daily habit walking down to the front row of the audience just before airtime, opening her mouth wide and pointing to her teeth. She wanted to know if the audience could let her know if she had lipstick stuck on her teeth.
Oh, my God.
Maria left Indiana for L.A. at age 19. Blah, blah, blah. She returned to Indiana, hired in 1988 to coach Notre Dame's cheerleaders. A job paid $15,000 a year. She wed wealthy Tad Majerek,
whose
family owns greeting card stores in Indiana. She met Regis in 1991. She was 30. Regis was 58.
Hi there. I'm a big Notre Dame fan. Are you the cheerleader coach?
A few days later, they got another picture of him and her together at a football game in 1992.
Wow. There they are. She doesn't look as happy as he does.
Hey, boy.
She looks like she's working, but I know I'm going to get some.
Starting in 1991, the day after the game, Maria documented many of her encounters with Regis in her diary.
Oh, my God.
I met him in his dressing room. She wrote in her first entry regarding Regis. He was nice enough to take a picture with me. He's just like he is on TV. Very funny.
Right now, this is after they've had, she starts documenting, or is this the very beginning?
This is the very beginning.
Very beginning, okay, meet
in her
address.
In her diary. 5 days later, Maria's diary says, "Wow, you won't believe this. Regis called. He called this morning after his show to talk about the game tomorrow. I don't know how he got my number. He's so fun to talk to. Such a domer." And that means a Notre Dame fan.
Right.
Because the Golden Dome.
Mm-hmm.
Regis called her 3 more times during the season. And even though they were both married, she kept getting weekly calls from Regis in New York after the season ended.
I'm laying the groundwork.
In April 1992, the Notre Dame basketball team went to New York to play in a tournament. And Maria and her cheerleaders went too.
Hey, bringing you cheerleaders.
While there, Regis invited her and her squad to the ABC studios to see his show. Maria said Regis also took her aside for a private tour that included his office.
Would you like to see my office and my dressing room and my elevator?
He kissed me that day.
God, you're cute.
I was startled by it. I was both flattered and intimidated.
I want you now.
I was exhilarated by the fact of who he was. Fame and power is a strong aphrodisiac.
I've got fame and I've got power. Yeah.
He told me in a phone call later he had photos of us to send to me. But then he hesitated and said, "I don't think I'm going to send these to you. We look a little too friendly." Even in the beginning of our relationship, he didn't want to take any chances.
I want to be very careful because I'm planning on bedding you. I want to bed you.
In June, things really heated up. Maria was flown to New York by a publisher to discuss a book about cheerleading and used the opportunity to get together with Regis. They went to a Chinese restaurant, and over dinner, Maria told him her marriage was going badly and she hadn't had sex with her husband in 2 years.
God, I'm horny. Let's go to Wang Fu's.
Regis was sympathetic. Looking back, this is Maria now. It's a little strange. I told him about my problems, and he told me about his life, too. But here's another unflattering picture of her.
Oh,
take a look at the picture of her.
That's quite a little belly she's got there.
Big beer belly.
There you go.
I love that beer belly. I really do.
He never mentioned his wife, Joy, and I sure wasn't going to bring it up. After dinner, we went back to his office, and before I know it, he has arms around me, and he kissed me. It was great.
God, I love you.
Regis flew to South Bend to watch Notre Dame play Stanford on October 3.
You remember when it was a big part of the show.
Yes.
Where he'd always be heading off to Notre Dame almost every weekend to see the games. You know, he'd speak to the team and stuff like that. And I always figured it's because he was a big Notre Dame fan.
I was wrong. Maria called the hotel where he always stays, the Morris Inn, and he invited her over for a drink. As soon as I walked in the door, he was all over me. Crazy.
God, you're cute.
Maria says, "We did every intimate thing that two lovers can do, except intercourse. It might seem strange, but we were both married and felt we weren't really committing adultery if we didn't have actual intercourse.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we had sex every way you can think of. Kissing, caressing, fondling, getting naked, intimate touching, mutual oral sex, but no intercourse."
Right. Okay, hold on. That would be wrong.
Picturing Reed just doing that.
Gotta take a timeout.
Hey, how about some mutual oral sex? You're a doma.
We're just getting to the good part now. And we think that we may have researched her ex-husband's phone number.
Ah, very good.
If it will pan out or not, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Stay there. More of this breaking story straight from the Inquirer.
God, I love you.
Right after this.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show.
I am the truth. We take Jesus and we wrap him around our reproductive organs.
Amen.
And it's Jesus who's speaking to us to take his healing gospel to this generation and to do it now.
With roughly half of our affiliates still airing the program, it's the Don and Mike Show.
All right, tomorrow, what would ye do for laser eye surgery? Also tomorrow, the girls who played the cheerleaders in the new movie The Replacements are coming in.
Very good.
Tell us about Keanu Reeves forcing himself on them and other such stuff. We'll be in New York this week. Going back to NEW.
Yay.
We have strip trivia coming up in a week or so.
Excellent.
Giving away a trip to Tucson and the big Joe DiCaprio Dewey Beach house. We will be filling that house up with our kooky, crazy listeners to live together for a week.
With den mother Big Joe DiCaprio.
Big Joe DiCaprio. Okay, back to the Regis story.
Yeah. Pretty amazing. We were discussing it during the break. Pretty amazing about old Regis, but never intercourse. Good for him.
Now, one thing that gives this story more validity is the fact that they have a note that Regis sent to this girl.
I think what gives it more validity also is the fact that Regis is not denying any of this.
That's right. It says, "Dear Maria, you are the cutest thing in Giant Stadium in the Navy game. Best to you, Regis."
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mike, you and I both have an autographed picture of Regis and Kathy Lee.
Right.
That we got like 14 years ago.
Yeah, it's a collector's item.
Mm-hmm. Back when Regis would actually call up radio shows because he was dying for publicity.
I just talked to my friends down in Washington, D.C. It's snowing down there.
Right, and we would talk to him for a couple of minutes, and in return he would talk about us on the TV. Well, I checked the handwriting, and I checked my picture at home.
Right.
Which, incidentally, I'm so pathetic, it's hanging on my wall.
Yeah, but it's a good novelty item.
Sure. The handwriting's the same, and he also wrote, "Best to you."
Best to you, that's
on the picture to me.
So that's an authentic note there.
Right, so that's just something else to give this a little more validity. And you guys are right. If this is not true, he certainly has the forum. He has a TV show where he could come on and say, "Listen, this is embarrassing to me.
It's a pack of lies.
But I have to tell you something, it's not true."
Right.
He's not set.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's get back to the story. The interaction between Maria and Regis continued to grow. They met again at the Notre Dame Navy game, October 31, 1992, at Giant Stadium. She later got a note from Regis and pictures of them taken at the stadium. "You were the cutest thing in Giant Stadium in the Navy game," he wrote. That's the letter he just read you.
"Best to you, Regis." "Best to you. Best to you."
Regis and Maria had another tryst following a football banquet in South Bend.
God, I'm full, but I could still have oral.
"Ooh, what a weekend," Maria said. "Regis had me stripped naked and put my fur coat back on." He loved that coat. "We made love."
Oh, God.
"It was pure, raw, raging sex.
Take your clothes off and put your fur coat back on."
"This time was more intimate. Lots of kisses everywhere and very passionate. We didn't have intercourse. Everything but..."
That's interesting, you know? It's interesting she keeps saying this. It's almost like her way of justifying going public.
Regis also arranged a secret tryst with Maria at the luxurious Pfister Hotel.
Hey, you're going to love this place, especially since we can't have intercourse.
In Milwaukee in 1993. Maria says, "I went to Milwaukee 2 weeks ago. Regis called and said he was doing a show. It was a last-minute thing. Somebody else canceled. I got a flight and he had a room for me. After the show, he was able to sit with me and have dinner."
Mm.
"This is one of the few times Regis dared to be seen in public with Maria."
Try the mushroom caps.
When Maria met Regis's music director and an agent in the hotel lounge.
This is John McVie. That's a big deal.
Regis leaned over and whispered in my ear to go up in about 15 or 20 minutes, she said.
"Hey, listen to me. Go
up in about 15 minutes. Wear your fur coat. God, you're beautiful.
After she got to her room, he called and said he was just down the hall. Again, it was just like it always was. Passionate kisses, laughs, gentle and sweet touches. The final tryst came in the fall of 1993 after a black tie affair at the Century Center in South Bend.
It's just amazing. It's surreal hearing this story about Regis.
Really. Regis got a hold of me and said, I'm in room such and such. We were passionate as always and stayed together for hours. He really made me feel like a woman. The last time Maria saw Regis was in the third year of their affair on the Notre Dame campus. He was in a limo and the car was slowly passing Maria on the street. Regis rolled down the window, waved and said, hello. How are you doing?
Hop in.
There was a priest in the car with him. What else could he say? Maybe he was going to confession for the sins he committed with me.
No, he did something to tick her off, obviously.
In an exhaustive investigation, the Inquirer independently confirmed the details of Maria's story. Sources at the Morris Inn confirmed that Regis and Maria met there, and the Inquirer was able to verify his presence at other hotels and events where Maria said they got together.
Right.
What's more, a top handwriting expert said the note from Regis to Maria was written by Regis. Maria divorced her husband in 1994. She told her friend that Tad never knew anything about her affair with Regis. Hi, Robbie.
Long distance from Spain on the warm line.
Oh, hold on. Excuse me. My son's calling.
Yes.
Hello.
Hola.
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 Robbie, where's my Spanish music for Tito?
¿Cómo está, Tito?
Bien. ¿Y usted?
Hola, hola, hola.
Yeah, he's still there. He's still in Spain. He won't be back home for nearly two more weeks.
My God, wow.
Yeah, it's been the longest 2.5 weeks of my life without him around. Hey, Barney.
Don't you really miss me, Dad?
Oh, come on, you know I miss you.
Oh, really?
Yes, come on, you know I miss you.
I don't know.
He sounds really bummed.
He loves to work in.
Are you working your father, or are you really bummed?
No, I'll have to find out.
Yeah, so he's just working, man. This is, you know, and when I talk to him in real life, when Frida and I talk to him on the phone at home,
right.
He, of course, is very nice. He says, I'm having a great time, but I miss you guys. However, you know, everybody gets, you know, my son the actor when he right. calls the show.
Exactly.
So what's new, Tito? What did you do today in Spain?
I went to a fiesta.
You went to a, what kind of a fiesta?
A huge party with over 2,000 people.
Wow. Really, what'd you do?
Dance.
You dance? You dance with chicks?
No, I dance with, yes.
Oh, good.
Had a little tough time answering that question.
Well, I would hope you wouldn't be dancing with boys.
Right.
What are they doing having a fiesta on Monday?
Well, you see, it was hosted by Bacardi.
The rump company?
Yeah. And my friend who's in a band got me tickets.
Yeah.
So we went and there were tons of live bands. It was awesome.
Really, any bands you've heard of before?
No.
No? Were they all Spanish bands?
But they were all singing these Spanish songs we hear everywhere.
Oh, good. All right, so you had a decent time?
Yeah.
All right, so what's on the agenda this week?
Nothing much.
You been to the beach? Mommy told me you said you've been to the beach.
Yeah, I went today.
Went to the beach today?
Beach is awesome.
Beach is awesome. And you're buying cool clothes?
Yep.
Well, what kind of clothes are you buying?
Ties and stuff.
Right. Yeah, that's good. How's your Spanish family?
Pretty good.
Pretty good? What's the most exotic meal you've eaten recently?
Bull.
Bull?
You ate bull?
Or calamari.
Well, you have calamari all the time, though.
Okay, but it's exotic for most people.
I don't think calamari is exotic.
Yeah, anything you can get in, you know, any TGI Fridays is an exotic.
The Olive Garden.
The Olive Garden would have good calamari. But bull, I'm curious, you have bull steak?
Yeah.
Yeah, what did it taste like?
Better than beef steak.
Really, was it tough or tender?
Tender.
Very really? Tender.
Interesting.
All right.
Tender and juicy.
Tender and juicy. Delicious. Well, what time is it in Spain now? It's after midnight, right?
I gotta find my watch. Here it is. It is 12:10.
I thought you had an 11:30 curfew during the week.
I do. I'm at home.
Oh, you're at home. Okay, I gotcha. You're at home. So what are your plans for the rest of the evening?
Sleep.
And then you've actually gotten into the Spanish schedule, right? Where you stay up late and then you get up and then you
I'm keeping it when I get home.
Yeah, right. And you take a siesta during the middle of the afternoon?
I get up 9-ish. I get up, have a light breakfast, go to school, then I come back at 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
Have my biggest meal of the day, have a huge lunch.
Yeah.
Take a nice little nap, get up, stay out till 11 on the weekends later.
That's great.
And have dinner at about
11. Yeah, not a chance you're keeping that schedule when you
know,
get home.
Amen to that schedule. Yeah. It is good.
I love that schedule.
That's like Uncle Mike's dream schedule.
Oh, man, if I could have that schedule. Mm-hmm. 2 o'clock, you eat your big meal of the day. Perfect. That's what the body should be doing.
Then you take a nap.
Yes, immediately after eating. Perfect.
All right, buddy. Well, listen, I sure do love you.
I know.
Hey.
All right. I love you, too.
I know you do. You be a good boy. You'd be a good boy. Oh, listen, Mom and I just wrote you a letter today. Hey, incidentally, isn't there something you'd like to say to me today?
I already said it to Mom. Happy anniversary, buddy.
Okay, well, listen, buddy. You know, I'm half of that marriage.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so?
I said happy anniversary.
Well, no, you said it to Mom.
Then I said happy anniversary, buddy.
Okay, well, you're not allowed to call me buddy.
Okay, Mike.
Okay, buddy.
Oh, here we go.
Jesus. You're fooling yourself, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Yes, I am.
Yes, he is. Well, then I guess being as you're still running me this attitude on the air, I won't tell you about fantasy football.
No, that's not funny.
And I also won't tell you about the Scholastic Aptitude Test that we got back on you.
Okay, this isn't just funny, okay?
You got his SAT scores?
No, not those. The other standardized testing that you took at school.
Uh-huh.
I guess.
Oh, Mom has it?
No, Mom won't tell you.
I'm just kidding, Dad.
And Mom knows nothing about fantasy football.
So Come on, spill the beans on fantasy.
So, well, what would you like to say to me?
Dad, I love you, and happy anniversary.
Thank you.
All right,
here's the
big news.
Here's the deal on fantasy. You can only keep one player.
We have a keeper league now.
It's a one-player keeper league. And I left a tentative word that you wanted to keep Keyshawn.
I don't know.
All right, well, you got to let me know pretty quick.
Keyshawn or Freeman?
I'd keep Keyshawn.
Then keep Keyshawn.
And
you want to trade Keyshawn, Bart?
For whom?
Oh. Jimmy Smith?
Here we go.
No.
Are you sure about that?
Yes.
All right. Uncle Mike, don't start this long distance.
Well, you know, we're talking fantasy football.
Is that your keeper, Uncle Mike?
Could be. But Keyshawn.
Good luck.
Yeah. I know, that's Jimmy Smith's like the only guy I have.
My keeper's Edgerrin. Nobody's getting him. And furthermore, you're going to have to trust me.
You want to trade Edgerrin?
No way.
For Jimmy Smith?
No way.
Dad?
Yeah?
Edgerrin for Keyshawn and my first round draft pick?
No. And you also are going to have to trust me because you're not going to be back from Spain.
You said I would.
No, Mommy told me you're not going to be back on the day we're having the draft. So you're just going to have to trust me to make your picks for you. So you better start being nice to me.
I'm just Dad.
I know, and I told you I picked the right team for you. Don't worry if that happened. And the other
Will
stuff?
You pick my team, too?
No, Uncle Mike, you have to come to the draft.
All right.
I don't want to brag on you too much, but you did great on those tests.
I did?
Yeah.
Good. I'll call Mom and ask her, okay?
You call Mom and ask her, but you were in that... You know how they do that thing where you're the whatever percentile? All of it, you were in the, like, 95th to 96th, 97th percentile.
Wow. Excellent.
Yeah, you kicked some ass on those.
Gracias.
Ah, okay. All right, I love you.
Te quiero también.
And that means what?
I love you, too.
Thank you. Right. Thanks for calling the show today.
You're welcome.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
Okay. Bye.
Okay. Hola. I mean,
adios.
Adios.
Bye.
Okay. Bye. Excuse me. Just a brief family moment there.
Dad, you have to hang up.
Well, why do I have to hang up?
So I can call Mom.
Oh, all right. All right. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Dad, you have to hang up.
Oh, I'm getting some sweet payback here.
Okay, I don't care about dead air. I can actually hear the listeners turning off the radios.
He's using his dad's line.
Yeah. He's my man. All right, I'll see you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye. All right, he's gone. Now we got to do a break, and we'll finish the Regis stuff up right after this.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Maybe his great peripheral vision, huh, Sam?
Well, you know, that's what Don meant when he said he's a head job. When, in the first part of the show.
No, it's a head case.
A head case.
No, that's not what
it's a head case.
It's time to lock crotches and swap crazy. It's time for Don and Mike.
I did love doing that game on Friday night.
And Sam did too.
Sure, I'm certain they're not going to ask me back.
You never know.
Well, never say never. I don't know. All right, back to the Regis story.
You know, we're nearly done with it. The only thing that's left in the story is that Maria, the girl who had this thing going with Regis,
right,
divorced her husband in 1994. Her husband never knew about the thing with Regis. The affair with Regis ended because he was getting in too deep. He had too much at stake, too much to lose. He was feeling guilty. He didn't talk to me about breaking up. He just stopped calling, and I didn't call him either. But I still think the world of him. He was good to me.
Oh, yeah.
All right. You think the world of him so much, you sold this story to the Inquirer. Huh?
There's the lie right there.
She was a whore.
She wasn't angry. She wasn't angry and bitter that he just dumped her.
Who knows what would have happened if we both hadn't been married at the time we met.
Right.
I'm thrilled he's having such great success with Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
She couldn't stand it. She couldn't stand that success. If he'd cruised along with Regis and Kathy Lee, this probably never would have hit the papers, right. But she probably just couldn't stand it.
One thing's for sure, he made me feel like a million bucks.
Is that what she says?
That's the last one.
Oh, great. God, that's tacky.
That's great.
So, you
a
know.
Classy lady. A classy story from a classy lady about a classy guy.
He was wrong, but she's wrong, too.
Yeah.
And they put Joy's picture on the front of the Inquirer.
There she is.
How he hid it from wife Joy.
Oh, God.
You know, just to make sure that they rub it in as far as they possibly can.
You know, both of those two, you know, honest to God, they both have their little moments.
Now, I don't know if this is going to pan out, and this is not a gag. We have what we think is the phone number for the ex-husband.
Pad.
Don't know. Probably it, since the line is busy.
Mm-hmm. Joy Philbin is reportedly kind of okay with this. Obviously not thrilled, but she realizes it comes with the territory, and Regis told her about it before it hit the tabloid.
What, the affair comes with the territory?
Yeah.
Really? Would she tell that to my wife?
The tabloid.
Would she tell that to your wife?
Yeah, affairs come with the territory. No,
the
tabloid stories
come
with the territory.
Oh.
But Regis hasn't commented. He certainly hasn't denied anything.
No.
There were reports last week that he was trying to contact the publisher of the Inquirer. You remember David Pecker. Trying to contact
Hello, Mr. Pecker.
Mr. Pecker, for the love of God.
Mr. Peckerhead,
don't run that story. I will give you $1 million of my own money. Hi there, Maria. Hi. You going to be at the Notre Dame game this weekend? God, you are cute. I will meet you behind the stadium.
No answer there.
I'll meet you in the chapel.
I mean, we can't get through. All right, well, then let's just, let me just try to call. Hold on. One more call. Let me just try to call Regis.
Oh, good.
I know if we just call him directly, that he will give us the honest answer.
He hasn't denied it.
I'm calling the Regis Philbin home right now.
Hello.
You bastard.
Who's this?
Don. Don and Mike.
I'm so sorry. I really am, Don. Don, this is a day from... This is a day from hell.
And all this time we thought you were homo with Gelman.
No, it was all a charade. I'm hetero. I can't avoid women. But, I can't avoid their smell, their breasts, their legs, their asses. I want to touch them, squeeze them, lick them.
But you didn't have intercourse.
I didn't have intercourse. Because I thought it would be, okay. It's, if we're not having intercourse, it's not really an affair.
Well, now,
and that's what I told her. I said, look, we'll do everything, but do you like oral? And she said, yeah, I love oral. And do you like oral, Regis? I said, I love oral. And that's why we kept it oral. And, you know, we'd use our hands, our fingers. You know, we'd explore. We'd explore each other's bodies. And she was great. You know, I'm 69 years old. And she was 20 at the time, and something like that. And she was a cheerleader coach and lots of energy, and I was on the road, and I'd go to every single Notre Dame game every weekend.
I got to tell you, seeing these pictures in the Inquirer, she looks like a pig to me.
I'll bite your tongue. You can say a lot of things about me. I think she was terrific. I think she looks a little like Peggy Lee. That's why I was attracted to her. She had that Peggy Lee kind of look.
She looks like the secretary on that show, Dream On.
Well, let me tell you, Donald, I can talk to you because I know we've been, we've been good friends for a long time. But, look at me, all right? I know I'm a big TV star, but I'm not a Cary Grant or Mel Gibson. You know, I got to go with what I got to go with. And now it's in the papers. You know, when I stopped calling her because, I tired of her, and she got fatter as the relationship went on.
Yeah.
I thought that everything would be fine, but she's not fine.
And how?
She told the tabloids about...
How is Joy?
Oh, Jesus. She's not talking to me, but, well, no big loss. We never see each other anyway. And we certainly didn't fulfill our own intimate sexual needs with each other. It was, I'm a man. I've got needs. And she'd be off in her location, and I'd be in my location. And I just said, I've got to get something. And this Maria, oh, God, have you seen her tees? Have you seen her big fat tees? God, they are gorgeous. I love them more than anything. And I know she's got a bit of a beer belly. But let me tell you right now, I could look by the beer belly to see those magnificent jugs. God, they were gorgeous. And all I would think about, there's this one thing she used to do, Don.
What's that, Regis?
She'd take the fur coat that she wore, because it was cold in Indiana. And she would put the fur coat on, and I'll tell you, I would just see the breasts rubbing up against the fur, and it would drive me nuts. I went nuts for that, and I'd say, put the fur coat on. I only had to put the fur coat on because I wanted to see her breasts rub against the fur, and the mink, and the breasts, and oh my God, her nipples. Oh, I'm getting all hot and bothered. I wish the affair was still going, but of course, that can't happen now, and we won't be able to do it anymore.
And are you ever going to talk about this on your TV show?
I don't think so.
Why don't you come out and make some kind of blanket statement saying it's her word?
No, we're still
her word against your word, and that you didn't do it.
Well, let me tell you something. We're right now involved with the selection process, we don't want to upset the apple cart, and I think that Michael Gelman, my producer, and, a very uptight guy, we're not lovers, like I said before. The whole thing's changed. Now, he's told me very clearly in no uncertain terms that we got to low-key this, that ignoring it is the best course of action, and that it maybe eventually it'll go away. But, when we get the selection process, and, of course, that changes everything. Now, it's like a presidential running mate. Before, we were looking at Kathy Ireland, Cindy Crawford, Rebecca Romaine Stamos. Now, we're drawing beads on Christina Ferrari and also maybe Felicia Rashad.
So you're going from getting a real hot girl because it might be thought that you would bang her. Well, Felicia Rashad is pretty hot.
Well, yeah. She's gained a lot of weight. I don't know if you've seen her recently, but it would be all right. But I'll tell you right now, Christina Ferrari is who they're making noise about. And also Ann Compton from one of the TV networks. They're talking about bringing her in and Bettina Gregory and all these news ladies. And I'm like, why can't we get a great? And they say, don't you say piece of ass. For the love of God, don't say piece of ass. You'll be in big trouble.
What about Jeannie Most from CNN?
Jeannie Most is on the list. She might be there. I don't have, my hands are tied right now. Right up until this point, I was actually auditioning these girls in my own dressing room. I was saying, would you like to be there? I remember when we were talking to the, the financial lady, the Italian one.
The money honey?
Oh, the money honey. She is such a piece of ass. And I had her in my room, and I said, you really want the job? And I joke, of course, but they knew the undertone that I really wanted some. If you want to get the gig, that's all out the window now with this, how do I say it delicately, this bitch in the Enquirer who's put all these stories that are true about me.
What are you doing having your picture taken with her?
Well, she was a fan, and I said, she said, is there a chance, Regis, that we could get a photograph taken together? And I said, well, then fine. Take your picture, and we'll have the picture taken, and then we'll make love. And we never had intercourse. Did she put that in the story?
She wrote in the story that you never had intercourse.
We never did. My penis never went there. I want you to know that, Don.
In her vagina?
No, it never went in her vagina. There was never penis-vagina contact. There was lots of other contact, though, with our mouths and fingers. There was is so much contact, you wouldn't believe it. It's amazing. There were many times that I, the next morning, I would not be able to open my mouth correctly because my jaw would be sore.
And what about this? She writes that you would be with her until 3 or 4 in the morning.
Yes, that's...
And then you would go home. Now, how do you run that past your wife?
Oh, she's a sound sleeper, Joy. Joy would turn in normally around 10, 11 o'clock at night, and she would saw wood. I mean, absolutely, you put a train through that bedroom, and she wouldn't wake up. So I would come in at 5 o'clock, 5 a.m., I'd get into my pajamas with the feet in them, and I'd get into bed, and I would wrestle Joy up, and I'd say, oh, Joy, I got to go to work now. She said, what time did you get in? I said, 11:45. Like clockwork, it would be 11:45, and she would be none the wiser. It's not like me, you know, I got to get up all the time and go tinkle. That's what I have to do. I'd hold it, too, when I'd be with Maria. Because it's not becoming for a man to go in and do that business and then come out into the bedroom and say, hey, how about some oral?
Did she ever, did she ever diddle with your prostate?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, more than you know. We said it. Didn't she say it in the article? We explored every inch of our bodies. Every inch of our bodies. Not intercourse, but every inch of our bodies with our fingers and our mouths and our nose. It was fantastic. It was great sex. Better sex than if I had intercourse, if I don't mind saying it. I love her. I hope she's doing well. She's ruined my life, but fine.
Well, Regis, thank you for your honesty.
I just want all your listeners to know that once this blows over, you know, I can go back to my normal life. And Joy and I have an open marriage. And that's the spin I'll be taking. I know that I've spoken with this with your newsman, Buzz, and he's okay with it, and so is Joy. And I said, well, then fine.
All right, well, thank you, Regis.
Don, hey, great job on the football game. I caught a little of that. And tell Sam Hunt to relax a little bit.
I will.
He ought to
you.
Do more experimenting with his fingers.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks a lot, Don.
Thank you, Reed.
Bye-bye.
Well, the always honest, the always candid.
Mm-hmm.
Regis Philbin.
Amazingly candid. He's a very candid man. Very candid.
It's time now for the news in the comments with Buzz.
And his fingers.
Buzz, what is your lead story tonight on the news in the comments? Oops, hold on. Got to play your intro.
That's right.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Buzz.
He made it up.
Tonight,
yeah.
There goes the Klan vote. Al Gore picks a Jewish running mate.
All right, we'll give you your chance, Rob. Settle down. The other side will get to speak in a moment. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
For news and comments.
For news and
coming
comments.
Up on the Don and Mike Show.
And Mike Show. That was very
professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
This is the story of the...
Serving as a radio plushie for over 6 million listeners. The Don and Mike Show.
And listen, tomorrow we're giving away free laser eye surgery. Worth $5,000 from Dr. Witten. Witten Laser Eye Associates, TLC Laser Center. They did my eyes. Did Tiger Woods' eyes.
All right.
The good guys. The one that cost $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing What Would Ye Do? We have 5, 6, maybe 7 great acts.
Good.
And it's not too late to call. Tell us what you'd like to do. What would ye do?
What would ye do
for free laser surgery? Our phone number, 877-365-3636. Also tomorrow, the girls who played the cheerleaders in the new movie, The Replacements, are coming in to tell us what it was like working with Keanu Reeves and Gene Hackman.
I've seen the trailers, and those cheerleaders are prominently featured in that film.
That movie looks like it cannot suck enough. I thought it was going to be done from a serious standpoint, but instead they're trying to make it look like
kind of goofy,
you know, kooky, wacky stuff.
There's another football movie, I think, coming out that I saw a trailer for over the weekend, and I forgot what I completely... If I remember it, I'll, you know, if The Cell comes back, I'll let you know what it is.
But those girls are coming in tomorrow. Now cool. Let's go to Buzz.
Well, the U.S. now has its first ever Jewish vice presidential candidate.
And oh boy, is Rob Spiewak unhappy.
It's Denzel Washington, who's in a movie coming up about football.
Oh, where he plays a coach of a team.
Yeah, a team, a controversial coach, and he doesn't get along with the head coach.
Right.
It's either college or high school, I'm not sure. Democratic Connecticut Senator Joseph Lieberman has been chosen as Al Gore's running mate. The 58-year-old Lieberman is expected to help Gore distance himself from Clinton. Lieberman was one of the first Democrats to criticize the president for the Monica Lewinsky mess. And as Don mentioned earlier in the show, he's also keen on legislating music, television, and radio programs.
Gore has just lost 3 votes.
You wouldn't believe, and you know, it's more than 3 votes. I think there are a lot of people that get worried about
in this room.
Yeah.
He's lost my vote and your vote.
Right.
Because of the way he wants to censor the media. And he's lost Rob's vote because, frankly, that means a Jew is one step away from being president.
That's Rob Spiewak right over there.
There he is.
Rob Spiewak.
There he is.
We're kidding, of course. We're kidding.
No. His quote, and I quote him, not on my watch.
Rob, you have trouble resigning yourself to the fact that you are Jewish, though. You're part Jewish.
No, I am part, but only 12.5%.
It's only 12.5% Jewish.
Self-hate thing. He's also been chosen to help lure more Republicans and independents toward voting for Gore. That's the idea. The Catholic League.
Yeah, right.
The Catholic League.
Well, the guy's an asswipe, and it has nothing to do with his religion. I'm telling you.
Right.
He's a guy who wants to stop what disc jockeys say, wants to stop what people put in the records, wants to stop what Hollywood puts in the movies, and wants to stop what people put on television.
That's it. That's where he thinks the problem in society lies. And the Catholic League...
Not with his bad hair. His big T-shirt and his knee braces. Jesus.
I was so bummed.
Yeah.
I was so totally bummed.
Out of all the guys to pick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no. Pick a guy to distance yourself from the president. That's the reason.
Right. Good luck with that.
You know, that's your reason. You know, don't pick a guy that, be just stand on his own 2 feet and be popular in his own right. Pick a guy to distance you from the president. Yeah, all right.
You know what that means? For the first time since we've worked together, mm-hmm. we will be on the same side as G. Gordon Liddy when it comes to this election.
Let me get back to you on that.
Yeah, we'll sleep on it.
Let me sleep on it before I make that final decision.
Mike, it's censorship.
I understand, Don.
It's censorship.
I want to read more about him. I want to see if there's anything about him I'm going to like. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to wait. I'm going to sit back and wait. Mm-hmm. My reaction was completely volatile when I first heard that.
Go Nader.
I called my mom in Connecticut. You know, I said, well, your senator is going to be the next candidate for vice president. Way to go, Mom. I blame
her. My mind
her.
Is made up.
You've already made up your mind.
Bush and Cheney's fine with me.
Yeah, I think you've always wanted to go that way anyway. I think this is...
This is your excuse to join that party.
Oh, come on, F you.
I do. I think this is your chance. I think this is a... Now it's going to be... Now you can always look at Lieberman. He's the guy that did it, but it'll be right... Party line, right down the line. Right down the line.
F you.
Good, I'm glad you said that.
Good, means you feel strongly about it.
The Catholic League is all over Al Gore for an upcoming fundraiser at the Playboy Mansion. Gore himself is...
I'm beginning to think, really, that Al Gore sat down and said, I really don't want to be president.
Win.
Sure. How can I F it up as much as possible?
And Gore himself has said he disapproves of what protesters are calling the Gorgy, and he says he definitely won't be there. But the Catholic League says the fundraiser certainly shouldn't be held on a Sunday, and they're calling on Gore to put a stop to it, which he probably won't do. There were protests outside the Playboy offices in New York over this yesterday.
Let's hold on. Let me see who's calling. We have anybody for the contest. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I had a comment about the Tabasco sauce about the guy that was on there earlier.
Honey, we're so far past that.
Oh, okay.
All right, thank you, though. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Good morning.
Hey.
I got a good ad for that eye surgery, man.
What would you do?
I can shoot a load over 15 feet.
You've called before and it's not true.
It is true. You guys won't give me a chance, man.
You called the last time. The people who run the station will not let you do it.
But you won't give me a chance.
No, you can't.
You guys are being a bunch of pansy asses.
No, you're not allowed to. It's not our decision. It's the company's decision.
Oh, bull crap.
It's Joseph Lieberman's decision.
Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, that movie you guys are talking about?
What movie?
Remember the Titans.
Remember the Titans. Yeah, that's it. That's what it is.
All right. Thank you.
Williams High School in Alexandria.
All right. Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
What movie? Can I talk to Don and Mike?
You're talking to us. Yeah, your radio is up way too loud. Hi, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike.
Yes.
Welcome to the Republican Party.
Oh, come on. Just vote that way just for this election.
Yeah, well, it's the place where you need to be.
God, there they go.
That was convincing.
There they go with their fangs out.
You know, you're making me feel bad about that decision, but that is a final decision. I'm telling you, that guy Lieberman, he is like Jeremy Coleman with more power. He really is. Do you know all the things he wants to shut down?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
No way.
This is a good decision because Andy Rice supports you.
He'd just be the vice president.
You and Andy and Gordon?
In all
it's
probability.
Buzz, you know.
I know.
It's a stupid choice.
What could happen?
Listen, he is, he's one idiot away from being the guy in charge.
That'll be fine.
And when I say one idiot, I mean, he's one Hinckley away.
Yeah, I get worried about any guy that wants to censor. You know what I mean?
Of course, we all do. We hate that.
And the fact that they picked him, because it seems like the safe way to go. They're saying it's controversial because he's Jewish. Nah. I disagree. I think it's the safe choice because he was the guy, the only Democrat in the Senate that was very outspoken about Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right. And I worry about any guy that takes that high ground, that fancies himself as the moral authority of the country. They're dangerous.
Remember Kathy Lee?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
F him. Yep. F his family.
The Olympic torch fell into the wrong hands today in Melbourne, Australia. As a torchbearer ran through the southern part of that country, a 19-year-old snatched it out of her hand and took off with it. The young man was captured just a few seconds later. He'd apparently done it as a prank. The torch can now arrive safely in Sydney in time for the opening ceremony on September 15th.
Good eye, mate. Hey, look what I got. I snatched it right out of his hand. There you go. Good eye. I'm running across before the security authorities. Hey, how about that, Joe Lieberman? All right.
United Airlines had to cancel another 160 flights today. Hundreds of United flights over the weekend were canceled because the pilots are refusing to work overtime. They haven't had a contract since April, and they're not happy about the possible merger with U.S. Airways. Word is they hope to have this all worked out by September. So the cancellation...
By September?
Yes,
it's August now.
They've set a deadline
for
themselves.
It's August 7th. It's my anniversary.
United. Rising.
Rising.
Buster's gave him the finger.
The cancellations continued today thanks to thunderstorms and overcrowding caused by the lack of United flights on Saturday and Sunday.
Time out, Buzz. Got to do this back with more... Right here on the show that supports the Republican Party in the year 2000. At least half the show supports the Republican Party.
I don't know, man.
And when the other half figures out that it's going to be bad for his career, he'll support the Republican Party also.
Oh, my.
Come on, Mike.
Oh, Mike.
Come on.
Give me a little time.
Me and you and Rush Limbaugh. All on the same team.
Oh, God.
Come on.
Oh, my God. I'm going to puke.
But it means we can still talk about jizz.
I'm going to barf.
Come on.
Well, see, I'm one who thinks that regardless of what certain people say or do, we can still talk about it. But it does represent a threat to what
we're doing. Sure, he wants to shut it down. Oh, we got a woman for the contest. Hello. What would ye do? Hi, who is this?
This is Karen.
Hi, Karen, what would ye do to win the $5,000 laser eye surgery tomorrow?
I told the lady at the center I would do anything. I would come down there. I'm trying to think of something that you guys would love.
Well, it's up to you. If it involves nudity, that's good.
Nudity? That sounds good to me.
If it involves animals or food, that's good.
Animals and food? I don't know. Nudity sounds good.
Well, what would you do? And the only thing that we're sticklers on is you have to kind of say something that you're planning on doing.
I mean, you could certainly come down and do something like read the phone book for 5 minutes naked.
Read the phone book for 5 minutes naked?
That's a good idea. Hey, that's a good idea. Way to go, ma'am.
Is that what you'd like to do? Come down tomorrow and naked and read the phone book?
Yes.
Who is the celebrity you most resemble?
Okay. People tell me Renee Zellweger, Jennifer Aniston... I'm trying to think of anyway.
You can stop.
Right, hold on, honey. We want to get your information so you can come read us the phone book tomorrow. Hello, Don and Mike show.
If she can.
Hello.
Honey.
Hey, what?
Hey, welcome to the Republican Party.
Right. That's true.
That's right. You, Rush Limbaugh, G. Gordon Liddy.
G-Man, right.
Yeah, exactly.
All my buddies.
And it's about time we got some credibility.
Right. Amen. Thank you, my friend.
All right.
Thank you. I just want to talk about poops and sex.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Sure.
I got a better chance than the Republicans. Go Republicans!
That might not necessarily be true. You might have a worse chance with the Republicans than you would with the Democrats.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. All I know is the guy from Connecticut, he's a gigantic prick about free speech. He really is.
They say he's very similar to the Republicans in a lot of ways.
That's true.
As far
far as that point
often
of view.
Votes with them on things like censorship and stuff.
That's where the bulk of
well,
the...
great. What am I supposed to do then? What are you supposed to do? Just quit doing the show?
Oh, no, of course
not. Listen, I'm telling you. Lieberman's a prick. I'm voting for the other guy. Thank you. End of discussion.
No, it's not.
It's not the end of the discussion.
I reserve the right to continue the discussion at a later date.
Well, I'm a Republican now.
Congratulations.
I'm a Republican.
Are you going to register as a Republican?
Yes.
Well, we really have till November to make up our minds.
I can do it now.
Well, I know.
All my best decisions are spur of the moment.
I know, and you're often right.
I don't go against my gut instinct.
Mm-hmm. Can we tell my honey?
Shit, I'm going to make her do it, too.
Make her do
That's
it.
The Republican way.
Sure. I'm going to make her go Republican with me.
You know, it's your anniversary, remember.
And she's more into the Democrats than me. She works for them and stuff.
You know, you can always vote Republican in one election without changing party affiliation.
Mm-hmm. Why not? What have the Democrats done for me? What has anybody done for me?
Neither the Republicans nor the Democrats.
Right. I had to do it all by myself.
Mm-hmm.
F them. Well, I'll go with the Republicans now.
Permanently?
Hi, you can leave a message.
Every decision I make, Mike, is forever. Permanently, I'll be... No, of course not permanently.
Very good.
Yeah, just temporarily. That's all. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
All the vice president does is go to funerals and cast the tie-breaking vote in the Senate. It's the vote.
It's no, listen.
Vote Democrat.
Listen to me. Listen to me. One John Hinckley out there, and it's Lieberman's the president.
Yes, but he can't do anything unless Congress passes a bill about censorship. And there'll be enough people debating.
Sorry.
It's a bad choice.
I'm sorry, it's my ass on the line.
But
I can't do it.
Hating free speech.
I can't do it.
People will not support it.
I can't do it. I got to go Republican.
Don't.
Can I sign up on the air? Can I switch on the air?
Don't, please.
Would somebody find out if I could do it? I'll do it on the air.
Please, I beg of you.
I've been a registered Democrat since I was 18.
Yeah.
I'll switch on the air.
Don't do it, Don.
I have to show you how pissed off I am about this Lieberman guy.
Yeah, you and me both. That's true.
I'll do it tomorrow.
Don't jump off the cliff, Don.
Come down tomorrow, Republican Party. Come down.
Thanks for trying to talk him down, sir.
Especially if they could send out a topless girl. I absolutely will do it tomorrow. If she'll let me eat peanuts on around her Duke.
No, that's just the Democrats.
Then without a doubt, I'm there tomorrow. Oh, really, we got to do a break. Hold on, Buzz. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Me? That's why the bosses sent me out here. They wanted me to make sure none of the other crews robbed the train. Like these two balloon heads over here. They were going to try to bang us out of 200 grand? Yeah, right, I'm sure.
God damn it. The Don and Mike Show.
Right, now, Buzz, bear with me. We got a couple more people for the contest.
Oh, good.
Hello. Hello, what? Don and Mike. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I wanted to let you know that you don't need to re-register as a Republican.
What?
Don't need to re-register as long as you're Republican.
Oh, but I want to re-register.
Well, you don't need to.
Well, I want to do it on the air tomorrow.
Oh, well, if you're a registered voter in the state of Virginia, you don't need to do anything.
Well, I want to do it, though. I want to make a stand tomorrow.
Well, I understand that.
Besides Lieberman, Tipper Gore.
Yes.
Don't forget,
yeah.
Tipper Gore sniffed my anal vapors.
Right.
Wanted to put all the goddamn stickers on records. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I was going to say that the dog thing seems to be overplayed, but I'm willing to eat dog food out of, let my friend's dog eat dog food out of my mouth topless.
Winner.
Well, that could be a winner, right?
You're in.
But see, that doesn't even seem that gross to me. I mean, I do that all the time.
Well, that's wonderful.
Let us decide that.
That's beautiful. What's your name, honey?
Nicole.
All right, Nicole, can you hold on, please?
Absolutely.
I'll give you information.
Thank you.
Boy, okay.
I've got my pick.
Hello, John and Mike Show.
Hey, Radio Gods, Don.
Hi.
Mike.
Hi there.
Got to tell you, the difference between a Republican and Democrat, sir, is a Republican will play his commercials all on time and never overstay his welcome, but a Democrat doesn't give a damn how long he stays on the air.
Oh, come on. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
People are picking sides. Yes,
hello.
Hello.
Listen, I just want the show to continue.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Of course.
Hello.
Hello, is this Don and Mike?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, I'm the chairman of the Montgomery County Republican Party. And I just wanted to call and welcome you to the winning side.
Well, I live in Fairfax County, Virginia, so I'll need that person to come down tomorrow to swear me in.
Well, I'm sure my counterpart in Virginia will come on down, but I wanted to take the opportunity to welcome you. We just got back for a fantastic convention.
And I need a big Uncle Sam outfit to wear. I mean, with stilts and everything.
Well, I'll
go all the way with you tomorrow. All right, thank you.
What size are you?
Real big, honey. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don.
Yeah.
You've been a Republican your whole life.
No, I've been a Democrat my whole life.
No, no. Listen to your views. If you were elected king, those are conservative views, my friend.
Okay. Listen, if I was elected king, hello, you know what that is?
What?
That's a joke on a radio show.
I know that.
Okay, well, you know what's serious is censorship. I'm against that. So I'm going to go to the other side.
Well,
you party for you. Hello.
I'm scared. Hold on.
Hello. Can we get to the club? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Hi, what?
It is Mr. Bigglesworth, Don. I have an idea.
Oh, would you stop it, please? I thought there was one more guy for the contest here. Hello?
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, are you calling for the contest?
I am, sir.
Okay, what would ye do for free laser eye surgery?
I would do eat for my fiance. I would, and I just heard this. I would eat dog food off of Dennis's feet.
Well, yeah, might have been
I just
before.
Heard the dog food one.
Somebody has already eaten dog food off Dennis's feet.
Absolutely. Oh, is he really?
Yeah. Yep.
Do you have any other ideas? I'm willing to do anything.
Well, no. The contest kind of works because you come up with the idea.
Shoot.
Right.
Thank you.
Goodbye. Goodbye. All right, back now to Buzz.
Well, when most of us here in the Northeast call 411, there's nobody home. The strike against the phone company continues. The phone company is Verizon, which was known a few weeks ago as two companies, Bell Atlantic and GTE.
Charlie had the mind of a child.
I'm on strike.
How does that go? What's the rule, Charlie? You remember?
Lefty. Righty tighty.
Uh-huh.
Lefty Lucy.
Very good.
Guess who's back from vacation today?
Who's that?
Joe.
Joe Ardinger.
Oh, Joe Ardinger.
My friend. He went to Tijuana. He did, Don. He went to Tijuana. He's my friend.
85,000 operators and technicians from Virginia to New England are off the job. The strike hit 10 states early yesterday morning.
Director Sisters, can I help you?
The talks continue, but so is the vandalism by some of the strikers.
How do you spell that again?
Yeah, let me, as a matter of fact,
gonna give it a try?
Yeah, let me see if I can call Director Sisters.
That's a good idea. I didn't have much luck with it earlier today.
Just to see if we can get through to anybody. It's kind of an impromptu.
That's not a good sign.
Not getting an answer.
Director Assistance, Verizon Wireless. Can I help you?
Yes, I would like the number.
Please mention the city and state. Please mention the city and state.
Fairfax County, Virginia.
What's listing in Fairfax County, Virginia? You have to give a city and state.
I don't know the city, but it's the Republican National Committee, Fairfax County, Virginia.
Sorry, we're not putting any calls through to that. We won't be putting any calls through to that today.
Why?
You're not allowed.
Why?
Because Mike doesn't want you to. Bye.
Mike has talked to Charlie, apparently.
Bye, Charlie.
The issues are unions, job security, and overtime.
Charlie's a libertarian.
Hello. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Mike?
Yeah.
Come on over to the winning side, Mr. Scholarship winner.
Scholarship winner.
Yeah, stop it.
Oh, he'll never join us.
You're probably right. The bogus clue that Jervis would win Survivor was planted by the show's creator. Mark Burnett says he couldn't just sit by while cyber geeks tried to ruin the secret ending. He says it was his idea to show the cast members' faces on the website, all of them with red X's over their pictures except for Jervis. He says he also planted subliminal messages in the credits, leading viewers to believe that Jervis was the winner. The website SurvivorSucks.com has admitted defeat and congratulated Burnett, quoting the site, "Well done, Mark. Very well done. We are but near pawns in your game."
Okay, Buzz, you got to do this. I'm sorry. It was too much phone call stuff there. Back with another full segment of news and comments right after this.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hell of a job. That's the way to fight through it. How about you, Tim?
One bad.
It's the home of the pumpkin shampoo, the Don and Mike Show.
Well, regardless of if we're Republicans or Democrats.
Yeah, I was just talking with Buzz out in the hallway. Yeah. I was in a blue funk all morning, but, you know, what are you going to do,
right? We've just had proof here in the radio station,
yeah,
that every vote counts.
Absolutely.
Really? So I just want to say that about the Fantasy League.
Can't go into a lot of detail about it.
Uh-huh. Every vote counts.
Wow. Counts. Absolutely.
And your vote counted, Mike. My vote counted.
That's right.
Johnny's vote counted. Eric's vote counted.
And there was a grassroots movement to lobby me, you know, almost like the Democratic system, for my vote.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, you know, the vote went the way everybody wanted it to.
Your vote counted.
You knew how to single out the right issue.
Make it a better league.
That's right. Absolutely.
A better league for everybody.
Absolutely.
A happier league.
Much happier league. Much friendlier league.
Excellent. Great news. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. A scientist here in the U.S. say they've discovered the world's biggest fungus. Yeah, it's on my finger. No?
It's on my toe.
No. In fact, they say it's the biggest living organism in the world at nearly... No, it isn't, Rob.
I'm a lie.
It's nearly 3.5 square miles big. It's actually a mushroom, a honey mushroom that covers 2,200 acres in Oregon.
Honey?
Honey mushroom.
Honey.
That makes
quiet
it
honey.
That makes it as big as 1,665 football fields. That's 1,665 football fields.
Fungi, honey.
It's about 3 feet deep, so no idea yet how much it weighs. Scientists say it started as a single spore and that it's been growing for anywhere from 2,000 to 7,000 years.
Wow.
Cool. 20-year-old Sarah George of Idaho Falls says, I can't believe I barfed in Harrison Ford's helicopter. Actually, she barfed in his hat. The star of Indiana Jones movies rescued Sarah from an 11,000-foot mountaintop over the weekend. Sarah was hiking and became dehydrated from the heat and the altitude. Her friend called 911. Harrison Ford has told the local sheriff's departments that he'd like to help whenever they need a pilot. So he got the call, and in minutes he was on his way. The friend says Sarah was so sick she didn't recognize her rescuer. The friend says that when Sarah started to boot, the actor handed her his hat, which, quoting the friend, was a pretty nice thing to do. Is this a good idea? One of the hot new toys for kids features a death row inmate being fried in the electric chair.
Great idea for kids, Buzz.
Well, you're a Republican now. Death row Marv.
God damn it. And listen, I'm not kidding about that.
I know you're not.
If anybody from the Republican committee
mm-hmm.
wants to come down tomorrow and swear me in during the first break, I'm ready to switch allegiance. First break of the show tomorrow.
You don't have to be sworn in.
I want to, though.
I don't think it's an exercise. It doesn't mean anything.
I'm high profile.
But it doesn't mean anything to be sworn in. You
know? I'm high profile.
You don't have to put your hand on a Bible or anything.
I will.
That's the good news. Well, you don't have to.
I want to.
But it's a meaningless exercise.
But I want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an example for other people out there. God damn it, I'm a role model.
You've always wanted to do this, haven't you?
No, I haven't.
Always wanted to. Now you're finally having this chance. We never talk politics at all on this show. The Republican Party, you're gonna just let the whole world know you want to be a Republican.
Yes, I've made no secret of the fact that I'm a Democrat.
You never had anybody come down and swear you in that you were a member of the Democratic Party.
Never wanted to censor anybody
before.
Have
you talked to your wife about this rash decision?
No! No, certainly not. I'm taking her out tonight.
Dining her for your 19th anniversary.
I'll get her liquored up. Besides, if she doesn't want to do it with me, BFD.
Mm-hmm.
She might do it with me. She might or be on her way to dinner.
Thank you, Mike, for asking him if he'd talk to me. You know, because really, this is one of the few things that we have in common, our political...
I agree. I also have
honey,
in common with your husband.
Yeah. Listen, Lieberman is a big guy who wants to shut disc jockeys up. You know, Tipper Gore,
you know,
got the whole thing with the records.
The other side isn't known for their open-mindedness either.
Right.
Join me on the other side, honey.
No, I'll go like the other guys. I'll go for Nader before I'll switch.
Yeah, let's go with Ralph Nader.
No, I'm not backing a loser.
Mm-hmm.
I like winners. Yeah, that's the reason, too.
I like
you
winners.
You smell the victory, don't you? You
hey.
Smell that Republican victory, and you'd
yeah,
like to be on a winning team.
Yeah,
you know me, I like the winners, Mike.
The winners, if you think the Republicans are going to like you, you got, you know, you'll be
disappointed. Oh, hell, they're going to love me. Are you kidding?
They're not going to want you.
Look at me.
They're
look
not
at me.
Gonna, they're not going to, they're going to want
look at me.
Oh, yeah. They're going to hang out you and Bush and Jerry Falwell and you and all.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, Tree and Rush and all my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Free to work on them. You know, get them a little liquored up at your anniversary dinner and just try to talk some sense.
No, I'll chuck them.
I'm a big advocate of just walking in there the day of the election. You know, make it a one election deal. Don't turn off the whole party.
I can switch back.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
No, all right,
you know,
hey,
and if nothing
what?
Else, right? Hey, what's the Republican in back of you doing?
Is he a Republican?
Oh, Jesus. Of course, you're dealing with... He's absolutely wetting his pants with glee right now.
Bob Feuer just wrote me a...
You ever hear him talk? Of course he's a Republican.
He said that I should let Frieda stay the way she is, because then at the very least I cancel out her vote. Listen, I want to do it on the air tomorrow.
Yeah.
So listen, but well, it's a one day only offer. If the Republicans want the publicity with getting me on their side,
right?
They got to get their ass together and come down here tomorrow.
Bring a photographer.
Well,
because
I think
if they don't, what's that?
I think the Democrats are safe because I don't think that's happening.
You'd be amazed. We've gotten calls already.
If that was
a legitimate call from the chairman of the party in you know Montgomery County,
I'm very legit on this.
I guess so. They were friends with Elvis. They could befriend you.
Very legit. Oh, thank you. And thank you for that comparison. Thank you.
I'm just saying another rock and roll kind of guy.
Right, Scylla.
All right.
I love you.
I love you still.
I'll see you.
All right, goodbye.
I bet I can win her over tonight. It could be very convincing when I try.
You two be nice to each other.
So can I.
So can I. I would like to reserve the right. If you do have this, I'm going to offer up some kind of protest. I have to do it. It's my conscience that
sure.
I have to offer it. Like, but I'm not sure what that protest is going to be. You know, and it's tough because I
give equal time.
I agree with you about the Lieberman choice. I was in an absolute total depression over that
choice.
Right.
Sucks my ass.
It totally sucks.
Mm-hmm.
It totally sucks.
That we agree on. But this is a limited time offer because I'm hot about this right now.
Got to take advantage of you?
Republicans, you got to be down here tomorrow to sign me up at the beginning of the show. Because after that, we got the cheerleaders coming in from the Keanu Reeves movie,
mm-hmm.
and then we got the people coming in to eat stuff out of their dukes.
You know, I'm thinking the only way that I could protest would be to hold up a Gore sign, and I'm not sure I want to do that after he's chosen Mr. Censorship. Is this right. Mr. Censorship?
Mr. Scholarship, whatever.
I'm totally, totally in a blue funk about
sure.
all this. Understandable.
I'm open. To the highest bidder tomorrow.
To the highest bidder.
Come down.
Yeah,
really?
That is the way to
what
say.
Does that mean, though? The highest bidder.
Now it sounds to me like your vote is for sale.
No, it's not a monetary thing.
But I mean, it's just
not monetary.
Whoever comes up with the best, like,
the
like,
best publicity.
The best presentation. The best presentation.
But it has
Are you
to
saying
be.
That you're open to both parties?
But it has yes, but it would have to be an accredited member of that party. If the Democrats want me, let them send some people down here tomorrow to sway me.
Has to be an official.
Let them bring me some nice Opus X cigars. Let them bring me some Grey Goose vodka.
All right.
And if the Republicans want me, all they got to do is show up. That's fair. That's all they got to do.
Really?
Get me an Uncle Sam hat and show up. I'm there for you.
Okay.
I'm there.
So that's all you need.
Right.
A little Uncle Sam hat from the Republicans, all because of Joseph Lieberman being the choice.
Right.
Al Gore.
Guy's a prick.
Look what you've done, Al. Look what you've done to our party.
Thanks, Al. I've always been there for you.
You're losing one of the staunch supporters. You're losing something that I've had in common with my partner for 15 years.
Christ.
And his wife for 19.
I voted with for that dick Walter Mondale.
So did I.
I voted straight Democratic.
I voted. Mm-hmm. Did you vote for Michael Dukakis?
Of course I did. Michael
so
Dukakis.
We all did.
Of course
yeah.
I did.
Here we are.
Are you a Democrat, Buzz?
Oh, very much so, yeah.
I mean, that's... Good for you.
We talked about that before. Now, you know, what I'm going to do this November, I don't know.
I don't either.
And is that going to happen?
I swear to God, and I've never said that.
I am not sure what I'm going to do. I'm not sure. I am so pissed off at this, I don't know what I'm going to do.
I'm waiting for the best presentation. Tomorrow, I'm going to have a pitch meeting. I'm open for pitches.
On the air.
That you're
on
not
the air.
Catching.
You know what? You know what? I'll tell you this. I'll go on. I'll tell you this right now. Why not? I will say the same thing. I will deal with that same pitch. I'll see who gives the best presentation. And if the Republicans show up, I will vote Republican in November if the Democrats don't show up. Well, what do we do if nobody shows up? Because I think there's a better chance that nobody will show up to pitch us on anything.
Well, you know what? By tomorrow, I'm probably going to be a little more educated as to exactly what the guy's deal is. I just want to make sure I know before I make any decision. I, unlike you, I do not make the snap decisions.
I don't need to
eat
anything.
By tomorrow.
My mind's made up.
Your mind's made up that you want the best presentation.
I sure do.
There you go.
The best presentation.
You know, maybe this is a time for the Democratic Party to step up, see what they can do.
Right? That's all I'm saying.
Oh, boy.
Pretty girls, nice cigars.
Buzz, why don't you join us? Why don't we all see who's got the best presentation? I mean, we're all Democrats here. We're all Democrats, and we're a little irritated about the choice.
That's true, but I don't want to make a commitment on who I'm going to vote for just yet. I think it's too early. There's still the Cheney factor, too. You know, look at that vice presidential chart. He's all right with me. He doesn't want me to shut me up on the radio.
I don't know.
I don't give a crap if the guy has a heart attack.
You might want to check that voting record when you see if he's a guy who wants to shut you up on the radio.
He may have been
a big guy for that.
Lieberman is the point guy, though.
Yep.
Lieberman is the guy who stands up and says, look at me. Shut up, Arnold Schwarzenegger. That's what's wrong with America. Movies, radio, television.
He's gotten the publicity. He's the point man, as you said, because he's otherwise a Democrat. A lot of Republicans have the same views, and they don't get that same attention because they all have the same views.
Enough, guys.
Okay.
Enough.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay.
If they come down tomorrow, I'll switch.
Okay. I don't care what you do. You do whatever you want.
I will.
Do whatever the hell you want.
I will.
It's fine with me.
Yeah, I will. I don't think the reason we've been friends and worked together for 15 years is because we're both Democrats.
It's helped. It's helped an awful lot. But you do whatever the hell. You know, I feel the same way. I swear to God, I feel the same way.
Like, whatever.
Right. I think the best pitch,
you sway us both tomorrow. We'll see. But you know what? Something tells me neither party will show up tomorrow.
I think
they don't care about two fat disc jockeys.
I'd be interested to see. Now, what do you mean by party official, though? This can't be just some... Yeah, party official.
Party official comes
with an armband.
It can't be like some muckety muck. It's got to be some higher up, some like
congressman.
No. Well, like that lady who said that she's the chair of the Republican from Montgomery County, Maryland.
A county chairman or a county co-chairman? You talking about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Come in and pitch me.
Mm. Give us your best shot.
Right, tomorrow.
There it is. There's
girls,
the challenge.
Cigars, booze.
Give us your best shot and see if you can sway Don.
And some of those styrofoam straw hats. Right, whatever.
Because if the Republicans come down here and sway you, you know, more power to you. I just can't do it.
No.
I can't do it.
I just think...
I'm so pissed.
Lieberman's a punk.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yep. He's a bad choice.
He's a very bad choice.
He's an awful choice.
We all agree.
Okay, Buzz?
Yes? No, we don't all agree.
This has been plenty of news.
Mm-hmm. You think?
It's my goddamn anniversary.
That's right. You need to
And I'm not going
to
be late for my anniversary tonight because I'm standing for 20 minutes debating with you guys about if I'm going to be a Republican or a Democrat.
Joe Lieberman wouldn't be late for his anniversary.
Good decision. And neither would Dick Cheney, because we're all pussy whips. Buzz, one more story, please.
Roseanne will appear nude in a magazine soon.
Yeah.
The 47-year-old just finished a photo shoot for Gear, a magazine published by Bob Guccione Jr. The layout will appear in the October issue, but it's only partial nudity. Roseanne says she still wants to take it all off for Playboy or Penthouse.
What, so she's not showing her the bearded clam?
Apparently not.
Gotcha.
I hear that's as big as that mushroom you were talking about.
Thank you.
It's huge.
So Tappy Touchstones right there. Time for a caller number 100, and it's full of as much fungus as that giant 3-mile thing.
And it's anywhere from 2 to 2,000 years old.
Phone number 877-365-3636. Call 100. Right now, you're the winner. Good luck.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
This hobby is so gone crazy.
The best reason not to drive your little Mercedes convertible into the abutment. The Don and Mike Show.
All right. Buzz.
In sports, after 40 years and 7 NBA championships, Jerry West is leaving the Los Angeles Lakers. His replacement's expected to give Coach Phil Jackson more say in personnel decisions. The Lakers won 6 NBA titles with West in the front office. The New York Yankees have claimed Jose Canseco off waivers from the Tampa Bay Devil Rays. The 36-year-old has 440 career homers, nine of them this year. He's batting .257 this season.
He'll hit some for the Yankees.
Oh, he sure will. And Cincinnati baseball coaches are dropping like flies. Ken Griffey Sr., now a bench coach for the Reds, has been hospitalized for chest pains. He fell ill as his team lost to the Marlins yesterday, 9-6. Pitching coach Don Gullett was hospitalized Monday after he experienced chest pains during a loss in New York. The Reds lost their fifth straight game yesterday.
Hello, Mr. Red, you're having a heart attack.
Finally, we may have a new king of the road rage. The Ed Anger in this story is a truck driver. 65-year-old James Trimble of Mechanicsburg, New York, is accused of using his big rig to push a stalled car while the driver was still in it. They say he was mad at the driver for pulling out in front of him. The trucker allegedly bumped the car several times, causing it to stall out. The driver called for help on his cell phone. Police say they got calls from other concerned motorists as well. Police say the trucker pushed the car for 12 miles along the interstate.
How do you like that there, little guy?
A stalled car for 12 miles. Sometimes at speeds of 60 miles an hour.
Jesus Christ. You still want to play ball?
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
No!
That's it. We got to go, Bob. We'll be back tomorrow with the all-new episode. Now, tomorrow we've got the What Would Ye Do show.
Yes.
I think we've got seven, eight, maybe nine contestants now.
Good one.
That will be portraying their various talents to win the laser eye surgery from Witten Laser Eye Associates and TLC. They're on the web at www.wittenlasereye.com.
Good.
Plus tomorrow, the girls from the movie The Replacements, the girls who played the cheerleaders, are coming in to tell us everything that went bad on that movie.
What did piano do?
And if the Republicans show up, they can sign me up.
What if the Democrats show up, Don?
Depends what they bring, Mike. Depends if they come bearing gifts.
All right, cigars and vodka.
Right, and good cigars. They're not cheap crap.
And women?
And good vodka.
Yeah, women like strippers?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, some nice strippers.
Okay, so you need the Democrats to show up with cigars and strippers.
Okay. But the Republicans just have to come by with the Uncle Sam hat.
So even if the Democrats show up, you know, the Republicans just show up with a hat.
Well, no, I would take great cigars, great vodka, and strippers over a hat.
Okay, because the Democrats have told me that if you accept the gift, you have to stay.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I'm caller 100.
Yes, you are. What's your name?
I'm Pam Dugan.
And Pam, where are you from?
Wichita, Kansas.
You are the 100th caller, and you have won the Sex and the City prize pack. Sex and the City. Film is the hottest and sexiest show on TV. Sex and the City, Sunday night at 9, Eastern, 8, where you live, only on HBO. Thank you for listening.
Thanks.
Wichita, Hot Talk KFH. Gotta go. See you tomorrow with the all-new episode. Thank you and good night, Buzz.
Thank you and happy anniversary, Don.
Thank you. Thank you. Good night, Mike.
Thank you. Happy anniversary, Don.
And Robbie.
Yes.
Please, throw your Santa Claus hat in the air. Just like Sydney, Tyler Moore.
You might just make it after all.
Oh!
Whoa!
We've done it.
Whoa! Nice we were able to put aside our differences and make that happen.
Thank you.
See you tomorrow.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Till we meet again, this is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the